This is PFW in progress.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. Patch.
PFW in progress.
I grew up in a tough neighborhood. We used to say you can get further with a kind word and a gun than you can with just a kind word.
With Fred Kirsch.
You afraid to come out from behind your men? You afraid to stand up for yourself? You want to do it now? You want to do it right now?
What's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo. He's like, there's no gabagoo.
What?
Easy.
You talk to me like that in front of my son? You and your family.
Paul Ferrillo.
Isn't that just like a wop who brings a knife to a gunfight?
Get out of here, you gaggle bastard.
And Andy. And Andy?
Yes, I knew it. That's all you need, one thieving wop on the team. I said that you're a lying member of a no-good race.
Andy Hart.
Much better than you, you stinking Irish pig.
Oh, I like it.
Some guy named Tom.
I want that son of a dead. I want him dead. I want you to get this where he breathes. I want you to find this Nancy boy. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground.
PFW in progress.
PFW in progress here on a Tuesday afternoon, Gillette Stadium. You guys hear me? I sound funny.
You've sounded funny for days.
I'm talking about the microphone, not necessarily my voice.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
Exactly.
You know, I sound funny. Yes, I sound funny.
Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo with you here. Post very rare Tuesday because we had a press conference already with Coach Belichick. That's not usually the MO here.
Chuckles, they call him. He was a laugh a minute.
It was chuckles today. He was very light. The bye week is underway here at Gillette Stadium. The players are still here, however. They're going to practice today and tomorrow, I believe, before they begin their little break, which it goes Thursday through Monday. Is that right, Andy?
Yeah.
They come back on Monday. Bill talked a lot, actually, kind of wide-ranging today. Talked about a couple of...
It was a wide-ranging interview.
Wide-ranging interview. It must have appeared in the Boston Herald. No one else heard of it. I mean, I'm sorry, the Boston Globe. No one heard of it until it was in the Globe, though. Someone will write it tomorrow, speaking for the first time in a wide-ranging interview. But what's overall impressions here? Obviously, we're coming off of kind of a strange game, I thought, on Sunday. A win is a win. That's the only thing that matters. I think a lot of people thought the Dolphins would keep it close because the Dolphins generally play the Patriots in tight games. But at the same time, I don't think anybody really thought the Patriots' offense would be completely neutralized the way it was. And it's hard to expect those turnovers the way the Patriots got them. What were you guys' impressions of the Dolphins game?
I think it was the same old story. They couldn't run the ball, and that just takes them completely out of the game offensively because the passing game is not ready to step up and carry it. Lawrence Maroney, again, found tough going of it with, 38 yards and 18 carries, a little over 2 yards a carry. Defenses that have been swarming to the ball and not giving him lanes to move have been pretty successful with the Broncos and Dolphins kind of bottling him up right at the line of scrimmage. And as I said, when you shut down the run against the Patriots right now, you can really hold the offense in check.
Yeah, I thought it was just a bad football game all around. I mean, it looked like a bad college football game to me. I thought it was terrible offense on both teams' parts. I thought there was some wide open receivers that both quarterbacks missed. Both defenses played well, but not as well as the stats say, I don't think. I was just thinking yesterday, if you look at the Patriots and the Colts, they're a combined 9-1. Has there ever been a worse combined 9-1 two teams? I mean,
I totally agree about the Colts. The Colts can't stop the run. They can't stop anybody from running the ball. I don't know how they're 5-0.
I mean, the Patriots are winning with defense, and it's just they're 4-1. They'll probably get better as the year goes on, so that's a good sign for the Patriots. It's just that you have too many games like you did against Miami, against good teams, and you're not going to win because that was a lackluster performance.
But is it just the Dolphins? Is it just the... For some reason, when they get together, they can play some of those tough, hard-fought, somewhat ugly at times games.
And we put together some stuff with Brady against Miami, and, you know, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but I would bet if you took Tom's 10 worst performances statistically, and I bet you at least 5 of those are against Miami. Games that he threw for less than 100 yards, games with a passer rating, way down there, multiple interception games. He's had a lot of different games. Actually, Sunday statistically was okay for Tom. You know,
it was his highest rating of the season, right?
He threw two touchdowns, but I thought it was the worst game that he actually threw the football, in my opinion. I thought he had more passes that were just well off target in this game than he's had in the previous four, I guess. And I thought he made plays when he had to, like Tom said, but I didn't think that he was overly sharp. But I do also agree with Andy's original point. It shows when the defense takes away the run, this offense has yet to show that it can do it in other ways. When they're running the ball effectively, they have a balanced attack. When they're not running it effectively, really the offense is kind of stagnant. Right.
And Andy was talking about the Dolphins' defense, and it seems to me that the Patriots struggle with the small, quick defenses. It'll be interesting to see how they play at Buffalo, because you can run the ball on the Bills, but they have that quick kind of attacking defensive line, and that's been giving the Patriots some trouble. And even the next game at Minnesota is kind of a similar type of defense. Those are the guys that, like Andy said, they bottle up the running lanes, and then the Patriots' offense just can't go anywhere.
And as far as Brady goes, you know, me being a man of the people, some of the people I talked to yesterday, the average fan really starting to say, what's wrong with Brady? Why are his throws so off? What, you know, what's the deal there? And do we continue to say, and I do, I don't want to speak for you guys, I continue to say, I think the whole passing game is out of whack. I still think he has no receivers that can get open. The timing is off. And in the end, yeah, it looks like he made a bad throw. But I fall back on, I think Tom Brady is a pretty good quarterback. He has a far larger sampling of success than any of these guys that are out there other than Troy Brown. So I'm not just going to say he suddenly overnight can't throw the ball accurately.
And when you lose virtually your entire receiving core from the previous year, you can't start the year and be the 1999 Rams. It just doesn't work that way. They have to. And the good thing is that they're 4-1 going into the bye, so they've won the close games that they needed to win, and hopefully this thing keeps developing and, you know, Gabriel and Jackson and those guys can get more involved in the passing attack.
That's what I would say the positive is. I don't think they've played particularly well. And every Bill Belichick team I've ever seen gets far better in November and December than they are at this point.
Right.
So for them to be 4-1 as a Patriots fan, I say, you know what? This could be one of those really good seasons, because if they improve like they normally do in an average season and the offense starts to get on track, I think this could be a very good football team.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I think that we haven't seen, you know, I think Cincinnati, they played pretty well, but the other four games, I don't think that we've seen their best in, and they're 4-1. So, I mean, that's a pretty positive sign. And I do agree with the assessment that, you know, with Brady, you know, obviously his track record speaks for itself. I'm going to put most of this on his lack of familiarity with the guys he's throwing to. I just thought that on Sunday in particular, there were times that I saw. And I got an email, and I'll let you know, Andy, you were around then, so I'll get your opinion on it. Dave Crisoli, who used to work for Patriots Video News, was the host and producer.
Until next time, I'm Dave Crisoli. Take care.
So he sent me an email today, and he said he thought it kind of looked like 2002 when he was dealing with the shoulder problem. He said a lot of his throws were short and flat, and he was wondering if we had the same impression.
Not really. You know, I don't know. I never know how healthy he is. I've said all along I think he has a lingering arm issue that's not just them tweaking the injury report of the league. I think he truly has some sort of tendonitis or something that's a long-standing injury that isn't necessarily easily fixed by surgery, so you don't want to keep going in and cutting him up, and you never know how he's going to respond to that. But I don't think I think it's the timing of the offense. I think it's the receivers. And, you know, you talked about they add another one, tap into that Florida Gator dominating receiver pipeline for Jabbar Gaffney to bring him on the roster this week. But I still think, and Tom and I were talking about it up in the office with our webmaster, superfan Chris Ferreira, they keep adding these receivers. And, yeah, these guys are probably good fours, maybe a three. But to me, the key is still Chad Jackson, because I think he has the talent and ability to be a one, and I think he could allow Troy Brown or Rishay Caldwell to become a two. You know, that domino effect we talked about with Ty Law in the offseason.
I totally agree.
It allows these guys to go in their roles, but he gets his first career start and doesn't have a catch, so I don't know how that development is going right now.
And we should specify, Andy, what you're talking about is we're not talking about playing the Texans. they'll find a way to spread the ball around and beat the Texans. We're talking about a playoff game, 3rd and 8 in a crucial situation. Who's he going to throw the ball to?
Besides Troy Brown.
Right.
And
right
now, that's the only guy that...
It's a great story with Troy Brown as he approaches the record, and he's 14-year veteran. He plays defense, offense, second on the team in catches. Great story. But do we really think you can ride Troy Brown in the passing game to success? Because I think you're kidding yourself if that's the case.
I agree. And we're going to continue to talk about the Dolphins game. Webradio at Patriots.com. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, let us know what you thought about the game. 20-10 victory, obviously. Andy just brought up really the news. Jabbar Gaffney is here. He was signed yesterday to the active roster. Patriots made 2 moves, however. Letting go of all-world defensive lineman Jonathan Sullivan and good guy defensive back Hank Poteet.
Why are you taking cheap shots at Sully out the door?
My guess, by the way, is that we have not seen the last of Hank Poteet.
Probably not. But I think this is good for Sullivan. He can now pursue his career in competitive eating.
Well, I mean, you know.
Why do we all hate him? I mean, I don't hate him.
I don't hate him.
You guys are a little cheap shots out the door. You're being Michael Felgerish.
And I'll tell you why, because I'm feeling a little bit vindicated today. Because
he didn't do anything.
This has nothing at all to do with Jonathan Sullivan.
There was a writer during training camp who kept saying that he was progressing. He was lying to the public, and now he's wrong.
But Jonathan Sullivan did nothing wrong.
And this has nothing to do with Jonathan Sullivan to me.
Yeah, but you're taking little cheap shots at him.
I'm taking cheap shots at the people who criticized us for being overly negative on
our
opinions.
He did try, and he just stinks.
We had in our opinions, all three of us agreed with what he was doing in training
camp. And all this negativity that's in this
town
sucks.
And everybody said,
you guys
didn't know what you were talking about. You know, you guys are just ready to kick this guy out the door. Why don't you give him a chance, blah, blah, blah. And we heard all the things. When Belichick gets to coach him up.
There's only one guy in this town who ever thought he did anything.
Right.
Because it was unanimously throughout the rest of the media, everybody thought he stunk. And we're searching for reasons why he was on the roster.
But
only one guy thought he was any good.
To prove Paul's point, I was on another team's website, and they mentioned that Sullivan had gotten cut. And they said, would we be interested? And someone from Rhode Island said, this guy would be a good pickup. He's been the media's whipping boy ever since he came here. And the Patriots and the media never really gave him a chance. I mean, that's just crap. That's all that is.
Because the Patriots make their roster moves based on the media's
whipping boys.
But anyway... So Sullivan and Poteet are gone. One opening still on the active roster. We talked a little bit today, possibility of Patrick Pass. He can begin practicing next Tuesday, the 17th, as the 6-week window starts. Based on Bill's comments today, I would expect him to start practicing that day.
There's a Pulse story. That's a Pulse story.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was thinking that probably will be a Pulse story as well, Tom. So that's one aspect of this. On the minor side of the moves, Patriots just signed punter Darren
Bogger.
Bogger.
Right?
Sure.
First name was Darren.
I wasn't sure it was Darren.
Gary?
Gary, you get that release?
Can you effort that? As he says no.
Is on the practice squad.
I believe his name was Darren. Yeah, they signed him to the practice squad. It's definitely Bogger, and he went to Arizona, University of Arizona.
Like?
Josh Miller.
Where he punted a lot then.
Right, and he was a finalist for the Ray Guy Award last year, went to Cincinnati as an undrafted free agent and was cut just before the season. So he's on the practice squad, so the practice squad is up to 8 now.
Right.
And the active roster is still missing one, but we all kind of think that they're holding a spot for P-Pass.
I think the Bogger signing to the practice squad is just a safety measure. We all saw Miller jog off the field pregame against the Bengals and had a little limp when he came back. So I think he's dealing with a little minor issue. I thought it was Dan.
Danny.
Because I wanted to call him Dan Bauer, who was the defensive coordinator at Tufts University when I was there.
Oh, okay.
Not spelled the same way, and it's Bogger. But Miller's obviously been kicking. I think he punted, 5 or 6 times against the Dolphins. But
that wasn't good.
Right. Maybe he has some sort of underlying injury that is, you know, hindering his performance a little bit, and they bring this guy in for a little safety for after the bye.
Yeah, and I know you always look at the net punting average, and since I've been doing the matchup winners, I'm not sure if I've seen him have a lower net average in a game. It was like 31.1.
They were both bad.
Terrible for him.
His regular average was bad, and his net average was bad, and... Yeah, so I think he may be getting affected a little bit by whatever it was. I don't know if it was an ankle, a knee. It's definitely a lower leg a leg issue with one of the legs, and so I think this is the safety measure they bring in.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. We saw the whole thing in Cincinnati, so there's got to be something to that. Wouldn't necessarily, I don't think, be a position that you would be.
No, you don't keep an extra punter for practice. Yeah. You're not asking him to play the other team's punter in practice.
Exactly. So
you've got your own punter that could do that.
Webradio@patriots.com. We've got a lot of emails coming in. Webradio@patriots.com. I'll throw out the phone number as well, 508-543-7482, so you can give us a call and let us know about the Dolphins game and anything else in the NFL. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, let me ask you guys a question. Nick Saban finally admitted in his post-game press conference that it was Culpepper's mobility was affecting him. And I saw Jim Mora on the NFL Network yesterday, and he said, you know, why didn't he notice
playoffs?
You know what I mean? Like,
he was probably hoping he'd play himself into something.
Yeah, but it took him five games
to know what we all saw in the first series of the Steelers.
I can totally understand him starting off the season saying, okay, he can move around well enough to play, so let's see what happens. Okay, then you play him, say, maybe three games, and you say, maybe he's rusty, maybe he's working back, but I mean, you needed four games basically to make this move.
They had a fight late last week.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people characterize this as something, it's not injury related. Well, in my opinion, that's bull. When he comes right out and says that the mobility was affected,
right?
You know, that's a big part of this.
And he came out and kind of said that on his own because the guy from Miami who was asking him was actually talking about his shoulder injury. And Nick Saban, being the cocky guy that he is, said, you guys just don't get it. It's not his shoulder, it's his mobility. No, Nick, you don't get it, because you're the idiot who left him in.
Right.
Hey, there's the idiot.
And his mobility has been affected throughout, anyway. And since Tom and Andy made me host today, and I really don't like serving as the host or being in the big show, I'm going to make one declaration right now. This will be a Dallas Cowboys free show. There will be nothing about Drew Bledsoe's miserable performance.
Well, I can't say anything unless they're going to let me swear.
They can't. There will be nothing about Drew Bledsoe's miserable performance. There'll be nothing about T.O. I don't want to hear anything about the Dallas Cowboys. There, I've spoken.
Well, you certainly won't. You won't be hearing anything about him in the postseason.
Anything else in the NFL is certainly open for discussion for us. But I'm going to make that one.
About the Rock.
The Rock we just saw, we think.
Well, anyway. I didn't even see who you think you saw.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was The Rock.
The Rock is here.
He was the same color. He had, he had football pants on. He was pretty muscular. I mean, my guess it was The Rock.
I guess I'm a good-looking guy.
From behind, so it's not like I'm saying they all look alike. It's just
that Rock guy.
And it was a pretty good chance that was The Rock.
Speaking of The Rock, you know, our own Andy
Hart. Rock guy.
Elicited a great response from.
I thought I had a strong press conference today.
Yeah, did you?
I thought so.
Well, you elicited a good response from Bill Belichick. Andy asked him, you know, at the end of the press conference, it was clearly, you know, just about to end. So, playing the role of Bert Breer, he decided to extend it for another 10 minutes.
But those are the kinds of questions you can ask and get a 10-second response, and then it's clearly, oh, good, it's all over.
Right. And he asked Bill if he had any plans to try to get in this movie, you know, based on his past vast acting experience as an extra in Rescue Me. And what did Bill say to you, Andy?
No. Anywhere near that movie, with an emphasis on that.
And then everybody laughed, and he said,
I'll be sticking to comedy.
I don't know what kind of movie this is supposed to be, by the way.
In other words, Bill's not happy they're filming the movie here.
That's how I took it.
And I think it's one of those feel-good movies.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Damian Woody is fat as all hell.
Oh, my God.
Big Wood,
were those three carts they were carrying him off?
Holy crap. His weight has certainly ballooned up under Marine Rod Marinelli.
I respect him. Won his Super Bowl, got his money.
Oh, no question.
Now he's not trying anymore for a bad team.
Plus, around here, they were always on him about that weight, sending him to fat farms.
He won two Super Bowls here, right?
So his career is over.
Yeah. Well.
So there's a movie here today. That may have been why, if you noticed watching the Patriots game this weekend, the padding and walls around the Gillette Stadium field were painted with stripes of white and some sort of maroon color. They will be shooting scenes from the Rocks movie, Game Plan, a Disney movie. It's about a fictional quarterback who's kind of riding high in a Tom Brady fashion, leading a team from New England, I believe, or Boston, to Super Bowl and a lot of success, and suddenly a child is left on his doorstep, and he finds out he has this 7-year-old child from a...
Who are you, Roger Ebert?
I like movies. Movies and football.
Boring!
Suck it.
I say the movie stinks.
Why? No, Disney always makes a decent feel-good sports movie.
If you're going to put football in it, I don't want to see anything about little kids or anything else. It's going to be all about the kid. And he's
It's more of a relationship movie than a football movie?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, he has one out right now, too.
It's a big surprise.
Gridiron Gang?
Yeah, no, that looks good.
Big surprise that Tom doesn't like that kind of aspect. You're going to have a football movie, and you're going to put some, you know, you're going to put people in it.
Well, I'm all excited to see the Rocky movie now, because rumor is that Adrian dies. So it's going to be no love story whatsoever. It's all boxing.
See, I made fun of you on the previous comment, but I have to back you up on that comment, because they should have just let her die in Rocky 2. It would have been a much better.
Wait till you guys see the trailer. I mean, it actually, you want to get up and jump rope.
I got to be honest with you, there's very little chance that I'll see it, because I really didn't like Rocky IV all that much. Rocky V was abysmal.
But Paul,
tremendous.
But Paul, you got to understand something. If you watch the trailer, he's back to Rocky I. He's wearing the same hat and the leather coat. He's getting back to the basics.
Is he walking around with a little handball bouncing?
Yeah, he's going back punching the beef. I mean, we're getting back to.
How
does he lean on his walker and punch the beef?
Apparently, Sly found somebody who has supplied him HGH. Because when you see his body,
there's no question he's been juicing for years.
No, I meant Rocky, not necessarily Stallone. Because I know Stallone's probably still in pretty good shape, but Rocky,
but the story,
the character himself is going to be like 80 by now.
But the storyline is can the great champion from the past beat the great champion now? So that they
but you're kidding me.
He comes back and he fights Antonio Tarver. Now I think he loses. I think it's going to be like Rocky One, where
it's
he goes the distance, he puts
the
up a fight,
and
I loses
really
at the end.
It.
He wins, but he loses. But he wins.
You know, we can, sounds like we're off on one of our rants after a game,
yeah, it's only a matter of time before we start getting
I can ripped. Tie this back in. I was just reading Jabbar Gaffney's bio, and he had signed with the Eagles this offseason, and apparently he told them, much like the movie character Rocky, he likes to train by running through the streets.
Oh.
We've come full circle.
There you go.
We have pre-mails?
Yeah, but anybody who's not interested in the new Rocky movie really shouldn't be listening to the show.
I agree.
Well, I'm sorry.
You're interested in it.
I'm not, but I have to listen to the show.
No, we won't go to the movies to see it, but you'll watch it.
But Paul has no interest in movies practically in general. He has no interest in Braveheart.
He's watching Rocky.
The guy doesn't want to see Braveheart.
Who said I didn't have any interest in Braveheart?
Paul Perillo.
That's not true. That's a blatant
fabrication. He's now known as Pop Paul Brown Perillo in these areas.
That's a blatant fabrication.
That's one of the better things Fred came up with.
Certainly more creative than I was.
What, fat and bald? Your old staples?
That was funny when Fred goes, should we call him Pop Perillo or Paul Brown? And Andy goes, I believe Paul Brown's already been taken.
Well, if you said that, no one would have any
no one would get the
idea
joke.
That it tied into you. Because, yes, your name's Paul, but so's the real Paul Brown. That's why I like the new one. Pop Paul Brown Perillo gets the best of both worlds.
I was going to say, because... You know, you couldn't call me Pop because that's not already taken by Pop Warner.
Paul Bear.
No,
Perillo.
If he calls you Pop Perillo, there's a clear tie-in to you. But if he calls you Paul Brown, where the Paul being the tie-in to you and the Brown being the tie-in to Paul Brown, no one gets it.
Let's face it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Oh, I think it's tremendous.
You just like to make fun of
it. It's a moving forward from Leather Helmet Perillo when people acted like you invented the game and you'd been there in
people
50
acted
years ago.
Like, or you make fun of me.
I'm people, aren't I?
Well, you're a man of the people, but you're not really people. Anyway, I don't even know where we're going.
It's a bye week. We're allowed to do this, right?
We do have a ton of emails, so we should probably
talk turf.
And we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go a little bit early today, 1:30, because the locker room is open at 1:30. So Fred Kirsch, in theory, will be down here.
What kind of locker room?
Take it through the last half hour. So let's get to some emails while
turf wars. Do we need to bring up Bill Belichick's discussion of the turf in his Monday press conference?
I don't know. You can if you want.
Well, I just find it interesting
this
that...
I got made fun of a Braveheart, but I really do have no interest in this.
I don't have interest in the actual turf. I have interest in the dynamics at play that have led to such turf and Bill Belichick coming out in the media saying no one in the organization is happy with the turf and he's going to get to the bottom of it. I'm pretty sure you only have to look in the mirror to get to the bottom of it, Bill, because I truly believe that... The turf is the way it is because that's the way Bill Belichick wants it, has wanted it forever.
Well, he claims that's not the case.
Well, I think he's lying.
Well, this guy could shut the stadium down if he felt like it.
He can do anything he wants.
You're telling me he can't get good grass if he wants it?
And the guy who's in charge of that grass, which is on top of this million-dollar watering system and drainage and oxygenation system, if that's a word, he can't get that field to look good, but the field they practice on all of training camp, he can keep perfectly green and looking like a golf course? I find that hard to believe that he suddenly gets stupider when he walks into Gillette Stadium and apparently he's peeing down the center of the field.
No soccer games and concerts on those practice fields.
Yeah, because they really rip up right between the hash marks where all the offensive and defensive linemen line up. It's got nothing to do with football. Well, I don't like it when people
get dumped on. And I'm the one
who
gets the buttons pushed, though, Tom, right?
I think a second straight groundskeeper could start to get dumped on here, and I don't think it's right.
He's a man of the people.
There you go.
Those guys wear work boots. They are my people.
Before we get to the emails, did you happen to see the little item about Stephen Neal today in the Herald? How
UFC?
Yeah.
Oh, I would definitely buy that pay per view if he was.
He would
in
be
it
the champ without question in my mind.
He's huge. I saw that All Access piece where he beat the heck out of little guys.
So who would win a fight between Stephen Neal and Andre Tippett?
Oh, I think Tip would win that fight.
I think Tip would win too.
Tip's not any smaller.
And Tip has no intention of grappling. Tip has the intention of ending it in one blow.
This is Andre Tippett. That's not what we're looking for.
The only reason that Tip would ever be at any kind of disadvantage just would be the age difference.
Right.
You know.
Well, if Neal could get him on the ground, then yeah, I think Neal would win.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think he'd get him on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen if they were.
He's just as big.
Ages.
He's faster. He's a black belt. He's dangerous.
Try to get something like that going.
That would be a tremendous pay-per-view. Could we do a New England Comcast on-demand pay-per-view? Tippett versus Neal.
Let's get it in the works. All right, let's hit the email, shall we?
It's a bye week. I was having fun with all the other stuff we were talking about.
Oh, we have plenty of time for that, too. But Shannon is first up. Says there is a...
This is the guy, right? Not a girl?
I believe.
When I went, I wonder if she's hot. And then he said, I hang out with all my male for whatever.
There is a media genius who writes for the Tacoma News Tribune out here in Washington. This could be our guy. This could
tick,
be our guy.
Tick, 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 tick.
That predicted the Dolphins to finish first in the division, followed by Buffalo second, and then the Patriots.
There's your genius for you.
Is what that? We got to find out. Is that him?
Is that Sando?
Sando with the sand wife and Mike sand in his head?
What a riot. It's real nice to have the Pats up by two games in the division going into a week six bye. Especially so with wins over all three of the division opponents. The Pats have a plus 34 point differential, the Bills minus 28, the Dolphins minus 30, and the Jets minus 36. It is conceivable to say the AFC East is already wrapped up after week five.
I'll watch the TV show tonight and you'll find out my answer to that.
What drugs were included in the 2006 media packs dispersed by the Miami Dolphins organization, which made 75% of the sports media world to pick the fish to win the division this year? See, that's just wrong.
That's not, but it wasn't 75%. That's a number they just threw out there.
It was random. I got to be honest. I thought the Dolphins would be the second best team in the division.
Right. And so did, what did I have on that ESPN thing? 9 out of 12 picked the Patriots.
Right.
Granted, in no way did I think they would start 1-4, but come on already. It's Miami. They have a tough defense, a good wide receiver, a decent head coach, and fruity uniforms. Great win, Pats. It's as simple as that.
Fruity? When they wear those orange ones, those are tremendous.
I want to know your opinion of the Patriots in the second half of this year. If you throw out the two fluky plays the Jets made in week two, the Patriots have outscored their opponents 57-17 in five games in the second half. How much of the credit goes to the coaching staff and how much of it to the players? Two side notes of interest. One, I have lived in quite a few cities and have checked out the local NFL team's version of Patriots Football Weekly. You guys definitely have everyone else beat. The Vikings and the Packers versions are especially weak. I think their sole purpose is to be used as campfire starters in northern Minnesota and Wisconsin. Great job. I would subscribe again if it didn't take a week and a half for it to be delivered to Seattle.
Why'd we have to end on that note?
You had mentioned how irritating the leaf washers are in the Northeast out by you. Trust me, those same bastard coating, bastard people with bastard, what is it, filling are out here as well. Only they drive 7 hours across the state just to pick apples and buy Walla Walla onions.
We just came close to a Bledsoe topic.
The grocery store has and always will be fine by me. Take care, Shannon, .. the guy. P.S. Sea chicken. There, I said it.
Oh, that was the sea chicken guy?
What sea chicken?
He had an email that said sea chickens about 20 times.
About 900 times talking about the Seahawks saying sea chickens.
I like him. He's a relative new addition, right? And he's good.
Yeah,
I like
him. He is good.
I'd like him more if he was a hot Shannon, but.
The only thing about the, the only thing I didn't like about the whole thing was, you know, the quote unquote two fluke, you know, if we took out the two strip sacks of Carson Palmer and then take 21 points off the board, and since you know, it was a 21-13 game, and all of a sudden it got out of hand and made it look like a blowout.
Took away the fluke pass interference call
on Miami, and you're hanging on to your hat.
I would call the first one fluky because of the nature of the actual play.
There's no question.
Second one, Lavernius Coles just made the Patriots look stupid.
That Jericho Cotchery play, you can watch football for 10 years and not see that again. That was a definitely – I'm not questioning him calling them fluke plays. I'm saying you can't take them out.
Well, see, I think the second one wasn't fluky.
I don't think the second
one – it was an embarrassment for the Patriots.
I don't think
defense.
The second one was fluky.
As far as the second half of the season, I mean, you're looking at the Colts, the Bears, that's the big one.
Personally, I just hope that both teams are still playing well. I'm really looking forward to
the Colts, the Bears, and Jacksonville is probably the three, you know, the three real good physical type of games that you're looking at.
See, and I think the Bears is the best one because I still have my questions about the Colts big time. I still have my questions about the Jags. The Bears,
Is definitely
to me,
be the
Bears
game.
Are that Bengals that I thought last year where they're just dangerous. All of a sudden, hey, we get an offense that can score a couple times? Ooh, watch out for us. And I think they have that cocky, the defense, the hitting. I saw Alex Brown. They were all having fun after he picked off a pass and was juking guys. Obviously, Urlacher is tremendous.
By the way?
Yeah.
I think they are
a fun, dangerous team right now.
And they got something to prove, though, too, because they're supposed to have this great defense last year. They went into Pittsburgh, got rolled over on the ground. Then they played Carolina in the playoffs, and they got bombed through the air. So you can have a great defense against Green Bay. That's fine. But they need to come in here and establish, say, we're the team to beat. You know, they can't keep playing these good teams and getting beat like that.
But, yeah, no question. And Tom and Andy both touched on it in their opening comments. And I would agree. I would expect the Patriots to be better in November and December than they are now, because they always are. Bill's teams always improve, and that's what he builds. That's how he builds a team. Plus, for the long haul, not
they relatively healthy right now. I mean, I know they have the Wilson Hobbs secondary things, but apparently the Hobbs thing is he's already taking steps to be back from it.
Although, if
I think they're
like
pretty healthy
on Sunday, he might be back on the bench.
Yeah, and I do have to put the. You know, the injury is part of the reason, but I also disagreed with some of the assessments of the game that it got better in the second half, and that's why I asked Bill in the post game what they did differently, and he admitted they went to double teams on Welker. That's why it improved on Welker.
That's a scary thought,
half.
Huh? Double team in Wes Welker.
Because Hobbs could
stop.
Hobbs could not handle him in that first half.
No.
It was as simple
but
as that.
And I had pointed out to you guys during the game was Booker was the guy who abused Hobbs last year.
And don't discount that. That allowed them to double-team Welker, because if Booker is still there, you can't double-team the third-best receiver.
There's definitely Miami definitely sees something in Ellis Hobbs they think they can take advantage of.
Yeah, they've gone after him in a couple of games.
Plus, it's a little different situation for him because he was playing in the slot, which he hadn't been doing.
Right.
You know, he was an outside starting corner. So it's not only the injury, but maybe a little different feel. People always talk about how hard that is because the receiver can go anywhere and, you know, a million different directions, and it's a different spot. So I think that's part of it.
Good corners, I think, use that sideline to back up
your
point.
No question.
Good corners use that sideline as an extra defender.
And it's his first week in that role, so maybe, you know, part of it was the injury. Part of it, he just got beat. He flat out got beat. But maybe part of it's injury, part of it's change of position, a little different setting.
All right, JJ in Ventura, California, next up. I'm a little concerned that the Pats have released Hank Poteet. Last year, the defense struggled until they signed Poteet, then they were good.
Huh?
This year, the offense struggled, then they signed Hank Poteet, and the offense began to come together. Obviously, there is a trend that is being ignored. All evidence points to Hank Poteet as the gel that holds this team together. I fear that without him in the lineup, the Patriots are doomed to mediocrity. Thoughts?
What are you people? On dope?
I would
good news is he'll be available when they need to give a boost to somewhere in the coming weeks.
Okay, let's move on. Raman in Turlock, California. A lot of California today.
We're big on the West Coast.
Evidently. Hey, guys, good win against the Dolphins. Wasn't the most spectacular offensive game for the Patriots, but then again, They hardly ever that hardly ever happens against Miami. I just wanted all of your opinions on where you would rate Vince Wilfork
against
Casey Hampton and Jamal Williams. I don't think he's better than either of them at this point in his career, but I do think he's got a good shot at it, and he is as dominating as them. Is he as dominating as them, and would you put Wilfork up on their level?
I wouldn't put him on their level just yet due to consistency and prove it over the long haul, but I think he can be better than both of them, thanks in part to his natural athletic ability.
Yeah, it's hard because we don't watch San Diego and Pittsburgh every week, and that's kind of a position you really have to follow the team. Yeah. So I know Casey Hampton and Jamal Williams are good because people tell me that they're good. We watch Wilfork, and we watch him play against offensive linemen, and he's been really coming on and playing well. And I agree with Andy. I think he can get into that class, whether it be by the end of this season or next season.
You know, I think he's going to get dangerous when – and I think he's done this. I think he's taken on the two-gap role and the just being a down-in-the-dirty trenches kind of nose tackle. But if you can turn on his one-gapping Miami mentality for a handful of plays here and there in a game, I think that'll make him an extremely dangerous player.
Yeah, the only thing that I don't know, well, not the only thing, but in addition to what Tom had mentioned about not really being overly familiar with Hampton and Williams, you don't know how those teams, if they use the same two-gap all the time, even though they both play 3-4 and they both play a nose tackle, are they a true two-gap nose tackle? I'm assuming they are. I will say this. I watched some of that first half of the game Sunday night. Jamal Williams was a man possessed in that game. He, I thought, single-handedly disrupted everything Pittsburgh was trying to do. And I haven't seen that kind of individual dominance from Vince Wilfork, but I agree with Tom and Andy that he is well on his on track to be that kind of performer. I think that he is making improvements by leaps and bounds.
And the other thing I would say is Wilfork has the thankful position of playing next to Richard Seymour. Who do the Chargers have? Castillo, and who's their other?
Castillo and the guy's name that's hard to pronounce.
Olshansky.
Yeah,
the Patriots. Igor Olshansky.
Yeah.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert.
You know, he's the centerpiece of that line, whereas I think Vince Wilfork is two or three here, maybe behind Ty Warren.
Ty Warren, I think, has been the best of the front seven.
If you put Williams next to Seymour, you might even be more impressed with what he's able to do.
Okay, James is next up. This is a long one here, so bear with me. I'm a regular listener from the Mile. He's in Denver. I'm from the Mile High City where the Hee-Haws handed the Ravens a loss last night. Don't like the prospects of having to attend a playoff game out here again. Watching Shanahan's play calling finally take its toll on the Ravens' defense, particularly in the Broncos' final drive with the long pass to Walker, the pass on the goal line, particularly during a good time to run the clock, reminding me that I wanted to send you a question about the offensive play calling for the Patriots thus far. Bear in mind that I often listen to the games on Sirius rather than seeing the majority of them, so I'm not in a position to have seen many of the plays that lead to runs being stuffed / incomplete passes. However, does it seem to anyone else that the offensive play calling has been a little bit on the predictable side, mixing up a number of first and second down runs, particularly in the Dolphins game, between the tackles, it seemed, with the occasional first down fly pattern bomb that is inevitably overthrown, not ragging on Brady, just observing that it's not a strength. Reverse, although watching Jackson in Cincinnati was exciting, a quick hitch seems slightly less, say, dynamic than what it could be. I love Maroney and Dillon, sorry, Tom, and believe that running the ball is a strength, but I am concerned by the ability of two pretty good defenses to shut them down. Although, side question, where was Dillon in the second half of the Miami game? And force the team to focus on the still-learning wide receiver core. Perhaps we are a bit too predictable, even in the two tight end sets with our, quote, explosive tight ends. So is it just me? Am I maligning the play calling when actually the players just aren't delivering on good calls? Or does it seem like we're seeing the old Pittsburgh formula of run, run, pass, punt, run, run, pass, punt, long bomb, run, pass, punt, run, run, draw, punt? What do you guys think about the play calling?
I forgot what he asked at the beginning of the question.
Basically, he's asking if they've been too predictable and too reliant on the running game because it's been successful.
I know what I wanted to tell you. From watching the couple of games here with the Broncos and Patriots, I knew Shanahan was going to throw the ball late in that game because he did it with the Patriots. But remember the two games against the Patriots?
He's done it, yeah.
Yeah, he likes to do that late in the game. When you think he's going to run, he'll roll out and throw those safe passes. But it's funny because I kind of get the same thing, feeling that there's something wrong with the offensive play calling, but I don't know what it is. I don't know. I kind of feel like they're not making adjustments on the fly, like the defense. Like you guys were talking about the defense switching at halftime. I don't know what it is. I just feel like the offense isn't, because the Dolphins started blitzing in the second half a lot more than they were in the first half.
Yep.
And I was asking you, where's the tight end screen they work on like 8 hours a day during training camp? And we haven't seen that really at all this year. And I don't know. It just seems to me like it's that thing where I think something's missing, but I don't know what it is.
All right, let's get to the phones now. John is in, was it Palm Bay, Florida? Is that?
Yep.
John, what's going on, man?
Hey, you guys must have been reading my minds, because when I was watching the game for the last couple of weeks, I've noticed the Patriots haven't thrown in those quick passes to receivers or screens. I just wondered if it's something they've taken out of the playbook, or just maybe a matchup thing that the teams haven't been matching up good for that.
They have one play that it's almost a new play, I think, this year, where it seems like it's to Gabriel a lot, where they do throw the quick ball to Gabriel, but they've been asking the tackle, either the right or left tackle. It was Light one time. I think it was O'Callaghan maybe another time. They asked the tackle to get out there and try to knock the corner back off, and it's a new wrinkle on that same play, the quick one to the receiver. But it almost seems to me like a block that's almost impossible to make for the tackle to try to get out there and knock the corner off the guy before he brings him down. And it hasn't worked yet the last couple times they've run it. So, you know, that's a new wrinkle. But I agree, you know, these tight ends are supposed to be the dynamic part of this offense. And we've seen a lot of success at different times with those screens to them. And they just haven't done it much and certainly haven't had any of the success they had last year.
I noticed one time in the Denver game especially, it was a cornerback that was playing like about 8 yards off the receiver, and it was third and two when, I don't know, like Brady just didn't throw a quick little pass to the receiver and then run for the 2 yards.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Tom and what we talked about earlier with just the receivers. They're just out of sync. They're just not an offense where you say they do the right thing at the right time, and it just seems to work out. And I don't know if that goes back to the receivers and the comfort level with Brady. Maybe he doesn't have those sight adjustments, doesn't have the confidence in them. Whatever it is, they're just not in sync right now. And that shows when you take away the run, there's not much they can do to adjust with the passing game.
I mean, the only thing I could think of is, I kind of don't think this could be the case, but I think the Patriots might be just playing it a little bit loosey-goosey and just not showing a lot and hoping teams underestimate them come late in the season and turn on the burners.
No.
Yeah, well, they're definitely not holding things back, if that's what you're asking. But, I happen to think you asked about it at the top about being maybe a matchup thing, and I do think that there is something to the fact that you have guys like, teams like Denver with their quick linebackers, and I think Miami is pretty athletic in its front seven. Even a guy like Jason Taylor still moves around pretty well. Thomas is a very active linebacker, Channing Crowder is a pretty athletic linebacker. So I think that some of that with screens is negated by the fact that you're playing against teams that are very quick. Now, I'm surprised they haven't used more screens than they have, because they usually will screen you no matter how well they think they're going to be defended. They're going to still have a couple of successful screens, and we haven't really seen that many lately.
And I wouldn't mind seeing it, because in theory, if Stephen Neal is this great up-and-coming guard, athletic, can get out there and lead the way, and Ben Watson or Daniel Graham are supposed to be these athletic tight ends, shouldn't, even if the team that you're playing has decent linebackers, shouldn't you say, well, I have confidence in us that we can just execute our play and make it work?
And they usually work when they run them, too.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's not like they've had a lot of success last year using them, and they're kind of just taking them out of the offense.
Anything else, John?
No, that was all my questions.
All right.
Well,
thanks for
John.
Calling. And let's move on to another email. Michael is in Port St. Lucie, Florida, so back-to-back Florida.
Florida and California, we're big in the warm weather areas.
4-1 is good to go into a bye week. Having a happy coach is better than having a mad coach for 2 weeks before another game. A couple questions I want answered. First, is Maroney inconsistent? Are teams stacking the line against him now, or is it just that he can't run against hole-plugging linebackers? What happened to the passing game? What are your thoughts on the signing of Gaffney? Is he going to be here for the rest of the year or gone in 2 weeks? Last question, why do we release two players? Are they planning on signing someone else before moving someone else from the practice squad? We do have 2 weeks to do something. Congratulations to Andy for saying that Bledsoe will throw an interception to the Eagles to win the game.
Yeah, I went out on a limb with that one.
And for the win, and for the win of the lock for Tom. He actually pushed on that.
Yeah, pushed.
Andy is still on the top with Tom, Paul, and Gary. Fred is in the mix, maybe.
Tom, does that mean you get a nano?
That was a push. No, luckily he didn't lose because Romeo Crennel was a terrible coach, an awful coach. And it just goes to show that Bill Belichick is the one who runs defenses, and Romeo Crennel can't do crap. And I say that because in his second year, his team's getting worse. It's not getting better. That's how you know he's a big, fat, terrible coach.
Two things I would question there. First of all, there was an offensive decision, a head coaching decision. So we shouldn't start questioning necessarily his defensive success.
It's actually pronounced Fouquet. Look at the rankings.
His defensive success.
The guy can't coach. He's an assistant coach. They put him as a head coach. He's not going to get the job done. By next year, he'll be available. If you want him back in New England,
that might
be
true, but don't take away his ability as a defensive coordinator.
And secondly,
Dean
Pete, I think we often see a good head coach come in, have some decent success in the first year, and take a step back the second year.
And he'll take an even bigger step back.
Now, if that happens, I'll agree with you, but I think there's a chance he takes a step forward.
Kicks a field goal with 10 seconds left.
It was a bad decision.
Bad decision.
Then he kicked it deep.
They all make bad decisions.
Kicked the ball deep. What a
Bill Belichick admitted he had a bad decision a couple weeks ago. What was that one?
Kicking a field goal.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily agree that he really believes that was a bad decision, by the way.
It fit my argument at the time. I needed it.
They had a chance to kick a 29-yard field goal to make it a two-score game with a minute left in the game. You're not expecting a 29-yard field goal to get blocked.
Did you guys watch the Sunday night game?
Very little.
Pittsburgh and San Diego? Did you see Ben Roethlisberger's numbers over the last four games?
No, his passer rating is like 39.
Absolutely abysmal.
Once he plays the Browns, those will improve.
Oh, zip it.
Listen, in a couple weeks...
It's not Romeo's fault he's stuck with McGinnis, who that idiot Phil Savage signed.
Hey, speaking of that, Carolina, 0 for 11 on third downs. Remember I told you they kept coming up a yard short?
Yeah, they were 0 for 11.
Listen, in a couple weeks...
Sounds like pretty good defense to me.
In a couple weeks when I calm down, maybe I'll give Romeo Crennel his due, but I will never forgive him for kicking that field goal.
All right, speaking of that whole game, the iPod guy is checking in. Says, hey, Tom.
What's his name?
It's James. It's the iPod guy. Looks like nobody won. Hope your pick this week will be a little bit better. Can't wait to hear it on Thursday. The friggin' Browns screwed us with that crappy field goal at the end. One more thing. With the signing of Jabbar Gaffney, we have one roster spot left. If you guys were running the team, what position would you target? Who are the top three players available at that position? Well, we kind of talked about this. This is James and Dyer in Deanna,
and
by the way.
And we are running the team. You just don't know it.
Right. But we kind of talked about we think that spot is being held for Patrick Pass. Mm-hmm.
Could be. I think that'd be interesting, huh? If you had all those guys on the roster, all those tweener guys, Evans, Pass.
Maybe I don't know, Andy, but he's been an every-down player for them.
He has been.
He's really a lot different.
So there's some similarities. There's some crossover, but there's some differences.
Well, let's go back to a previous email. Do you guys think Dylan might be a little nicked up? We didn't see him hardly at all.
Well, that was one
half.
Thing I wanted to ask you guys about. He had 10 carries for 45 yards. He averaged 4.5 a carry. It was
and
probably, in my opinion,
appeared.
The best he's looked this year.
Yeah.
Plus our little eyeball test that we've been doing between Dylan and Maroney, that Maroney was winning. Dylan won this week.
Won
he looked way better.
He won the eyeball test this week.
And then
he was running hard.
Carries.
I thought he was running very hard.
Something,
I thought it was the best he looked.
Something might be up there. He might have tweaked something or, you know.
Well, he's clearly had some shoulder issues. Was it the preseason it started that he's laughed off and he hasn't missed time, but they've been kind of recurring. So I'm wondering if there's a shoulder issue.
Mm. It's weird because I think we would have definitely seen him again in that game.
He was running the ball very well.
All right, let's move on to Ryan is in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Everyone starts complaining when Brady doesn't go 30 for 30 for 500 yards and 6 touchdowns with no interceptions every game. They say he's underthrowing or overthrowing or isn't showing enough energy. What do you think these whiners want? Forget the last 6 years and evaluate Brady on what he's done this year. Do you think his performance in the first 5 games warrants him being our starting quarterback? What do you think he does well compared to other starting quarterbacks this year? And what are his weaknesses so far this year compared to other starting quarterbacks? Give these whiners something to think about. Love the show.
Well, I just gave somebody a butt whooping on Ask PFW where he says it's time for Brady to walk the walk. I don't know if you've checked around in the league at some of the other starting quarterbacks. I won't mention one of them, but
you ought to
be damn lucky that Tom Brady's your quarterback here. And it's not his fault either. Something's wrong with him, or the receivers aren't getting open, because he's proven, and he proved this last year when he had no running game, when everybody was injured, he put the team on his shoulders and led him to the playoffs. So I don't know if it's time for him to walk the walk. I guess those three Super Bowl championships and Super Bowl MVP and everything he's done for this abysmal franchise, that's what it was, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, as Andy talked about earlier, I put the majority of the struggles, the quote-unquote struggles, on the lack of familiarity with those around him and not necessarily on him. That said, I don't think it's been his best passing so far in these five games. I think he's looked sharper in the past, but I cut him some slack because I'm a quarterback apologist.
And he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions or take a lot of sacks to put his team in trouble.
Oh, you really? I asked you nicely.
What did I say?
I asked you nicely.
He's managing the game well.
I'm not a dumb guy. I can understand why you would throw that non sequitur in the middle.
Dante Culpepper does the same thing.
I know who you were talking about, Tom. I know who you were talking about. I knew there was way too much talk about the fact that he was only sacked three times all year going into that game. Anyway, Steve is a long-distance fan from London. He's checking in. I flew over for the game on Sunday with a friend of mine who weighs around 360 pounds and is a spitting image of your shirtless guy, number one fan. When we sat down, the diehard fans behind us started chanting, "We got the number one fan," over and over again. Needless to say, they were a little disappointed that my friend didn't take his shirt off and lead the cheering.
Ooh.
I'm not disappointed about that. I just wanted to say that the stadium and game day experience was great and that I would thoroughly recommend it to any other long-distance fans. Now for my question. In response to an email of mine last month, you said that you can forget all the other running backs because Maroney was the man. Have you changed your minds?
I think this is Tom that
every
was
week
the Lawrence Maroney.
If he doesn't have a great week, we gotta apologize for him. Now when he rips through the Bills for 180 yards, will be the, "Well, I'm sorry, Tom was right." He blah blah blah. Listen,
I just want to point out, I was the one who said he's a budding superstar, and you were the one who said he is a superstar.
Well, he is. I think he is.
Superstars have 18 carries for 38 yards these days?
Well, I don't know.
Would Reggie Bush have? I have no idea. And Reggie Bush is not a superstar either.
What did Tom Watson have Sunday?
Now this guy's trying to tell you he didn't think Reggie Bush.
I think Reggie Bush is great, but I'm not going to anoint him a superstar.
Andy didn't like Chad Jackson either. He thought he was going to
stink. I loved Chad Jackson.
But in all fairness on that one, Tom, pretty much anything that Chad Jackson does, Andy can rightly say that he predicted that.
I loved Chad Jackson, and I've been thoroughly disappointed in him.
All right, let's move on to the last part.
But I don't just anoint people superstars after two games.
Superstars
are special.
You guys smack each other around with your purses.
And Lawrence Maroney is special.
But he's not a superstar yet.
Oh,
he just hasn't proven it consistently.
He will be by week 10.
That may be true, and that's where the budding part came in. Budding
we'll
superstar.
All right, he also said in his email,
you anointed him, and he had 18 carries for 38 yards 6 days later, or 5 days later.
This is just unbelievable.
What?
Just leave your purse alone and stop hitting.
What do you mean? Just because we bring some passion to sports talk radio,
you're saying the same thing.
Jesus,
back and forth
like
to each other.
Jesus, you're like paint
drying. This is an argument that you guys have both spoken five times and said the same exact thing.
But it's a good argument every week because goes from 125 yards to 18.
But your point is,
100
you say
to 30.
You say superstar running backs don't get held to 38 yards. They do. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, and it's happened two out of five times for this guy. How many times has this happened to LaDainian Tomlinson? I'm going to say LaDainian Tomlinson has had a lot more 100-yard days
well,
than 30-yard days
again during
the last
of the year.
Then he'll be maybe a superstar. But right now, he's about 50-50 between crap games and good games.
Anyway, he also
said... Is that not true? Because I don't think LaDainian Tomlinson's a 50-50 running back.
I don't think it's the same situation because he's not the man. He's not the only guy getting carries.
Neither is LaDainian Tomlinson right now.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's the man.
Michael the Burner Turner is getting plenty of carries.
Michael the Burner Turner had more than 10 carries in a game.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think he did. I'm wrong on
Paul
that.
Perillo
I'm
there.
Wrong
I just said
that,
he had
man.
To have had.
Because I don't think
he
has.
Did. It was
a 100-yard game.
Okay. He also said in his email last month that bit players like Heath Evans just don't get the respect they deserve, so it was nice to see Heath grab the touchdown pass in Sunday's game. Yes, the Pats need star players, but without our blue-collar team above all else, work ethic, I think we should have higher praise to guys like Evans and Green, Izzo, and the rest.
I think we should call them, instead of team above all else, in parentheses, let's put
happy to have a job.
I don't think anybody else could have caught that wide open touchdown pass in the end zone.
when they set a pick on Zach Thomas.
Listen, I love Heath Evans, but you know what? The Patriots' record will be the exact same at the end of the year, whether they had him or not. That's just a fact.
James is in Roanoke Rapids. And
could replace him with that walk-on from Florida. They seem to like Gators lately.
He says, although the score was not as high as I predicted on Friday, it still played out to be as tough a game as I thought it would be. My question as to whether the Dolphins would use the Denver game plan and play the run and then hope that Brady would have one of his, quote, all too often this season, end quote, off days seem to play out as well. Until Brady and the offense can consistently use the passing game to make those teams pay for stacking the line to stop the run, you can look for many of the teams that are coming up on the schedule to continue to do the same thing defensively. Like one of you also predicted Friday, Harrington was sharp once he got on the field and moved the ball well with the help of the Dolphins' version of the proverbial thorn in the Patriots' side, Wes Welker. If it was not for the bend but don't break defense that got three turnovers and a special teams blocked field goal, this game might have gone the other way. So you can't exactly call it a disappointing win, just one that should leave the coaches and players with some concerns as to how to get the offense going before they really will have to move the ball well and put up some points consistently against some of the better teams that they have coming up on their schedule. Hopefully they can work on that during the 2 weeks they have off, and maybe the problem that has made Brady be off a little bit so often on his passes can be corrected by this extended period of rest. And that's James in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. What do you think about the defensive game plans? Because I don't really see a difference in the defensive game plan. Like, you know, he says, you know, much like Denver, I think Cincinnati went into the game with the same game plan.
Yeah, I think either you have the personnel or you don't. Exactly. But I was just going to say Buffalo can do the same thing Denver did, and
they'll
still
run it right down
for 180 yards.
And I think Buffalo is a perfect example because they actually have good cornerbacks
right. That
you can put eight in the box and say Clements, you know, and McGee, I guess, is the other one. I don't think as highly of McGee, but you're not going to get really torched. But they can't stop them.
Right.
They're not going to stop them the way Denver did.
No, I agree with you. Green Bay, good luck. The Jets could put 40 guys in the box.
Did you see what Jacksonville did to the Jets in that game? That was unbelievable. Let's see. Russell is next up, and he is in the mighty.
But I'm not Bill Belichick.
He's in the mighty OC. As always, a great show. Tom, I enjoyed your anyone who thinks cheerleaders are important should be shot ideology.
Who said they're important?
Yeah, why did that come up?
Someone said that all teams should have cheerleaders because some of them don't, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, seven teams don't.
And
I think they should have cheerleaders because I like looking at boobs, but they're not important.
Yeah, did you ever hear of the internet? Download porn.
I don't do that anymore ever since I ruined a laptop that way. All that adware and spyware.
Looking at Jabbar Gaffney, outside of packing heat, presumably to bust a cap in overzealous defensive backs, what are your views and opinions on Gaffney? Finally, the Patriots should put down that field turf surface for a world-class facility. The current surface makes Schaefer Stadium, the original blue AstroTurf, look good. The gopher from Caddyshack wouldn't even want to dig holes in its current state. Keep up the fine work. That's Russell.
Stop thinking. Let things happen and be the ball.
Be the ball. Are you being the ball, Dean? Well, it's kind of hard being the ball when you keep talking like that. Anyway, what do you guys think of Jabbar Gaffney?
I think he's a slightly more productive Rishay Caldwell. Just a guy.
I think he's just a guy. I think he could catch a couple of balls for you if you need him to. If not, they could cut him and get someone else. This could be a revolving door kind of situation. If he comes in and doesn't get the job done, one of the other guys they've tried out, maybe they come in and just try to get someone who can stick for a while.
What do they have? Counting the practice squad guys, we have what, seven receivers?
Who's the seventh?
Kite and Childress.
Oh, Kelvin Kite.
So that's how many? We have Kite, now this guy, Gaffney, Chad Jackson.
Kelvin Kite's from Florida?
And Caldwell.
Caldwell.
I didn't even know Kelvin Kite was.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
As I said to Thomas Morning, why are we collecting receivers from schools that are notoriously known for being successful in college and stinking in the pros?
Anyway, Mike is in Florida.
That white guy out there, remember that Travis, what was that guy's?
Oh, you're thinking of Justin Doring? Chris Doring.
Oh, Doring.
Chris Doring.
Doring.
There was a Travis guy, too. It was Travis McGriff. Travis.
Oh, McGriff. There was a guy. Yeah,
wasn't
McGriff.
He a white guy who played for them? Yeah. Like a secondary?
I don't know him.
Why don't we just collect all of them?
Well, Mike's in Florida. Maybe he knows. No, he's not talking about wide receivers. Why does it seem
Mike
like...
Mike who?
Mike.
Oh, there's no name?
Yeah, but...
Isn't the Pickle Man?
He signed it. Mike.
Not the Pickle Man?
It's the Pickle Man.
Mike Gerken.
No.
This, oh.
Mike Moretti.
What do you got to give the guy's name out for? Maybe
I'm not giving
that.
His email address.
Maybe he didn't want his name out there first and last.
It's in his email address.
Which is?
Yeah. Well, they don't know that, Gary.
Anyway, why does it seem like feast or famine for the running game? Maroney has run into a brick wall every other week. Did you notice that Dylan was getting
a superstar.
Pretty consistent gains against the Finns while Maroney was consistently shut down? Why the difference between the two?
For some reason, and Fred made this point, they kept running well,
this is
yeah,
gonna be funny.
That's true. No, it was
that was Tom washing his hands.
It was actually a valid point, I thought, during the game. They kind of kept running Maroney inside, and he thought they should use more pitches and stuff and try to get him outside, and I kind of agree a little bit, because he was just getting stuffed inside. There was nothing there.
I have no problems with a pitch out here or there, but I hear that all the time. Why don't they run Maroney outside? And I just think it's very difficult to run consistently outside in the NFL.
Not saying you have to do it all the time, but to get the linebackers from coming inside so quickly, maybe run one every now and then just to... You know, make him think or something, because what they were doing just wasn't working. Him running him straight up the middle wasn't going to get a yard. You could see that early on in the game.
And I also think pitching him out takes his strength away from him and gets him running too parallel. I like when he's kind of off tackle and he hits that hole and he's got his shoulders square, because if he hits that initial hole, he kills people.
Yeah.
I think if you pitch him out, it's a little harder to be coming forward with that explosive Walter Payton-like style that you talked about with his running backs coach, because you're worried so much about beating to the edge that you can't get your shoulders turned and start getting upfield, and it can be hard.
All right, we'll take one more email here before we hit the break. Sean is in Hazleton, has some random thoughts. Nice win, typical Miami game at home, about what I expected, but I would have rather seen Fat Albert at quarterback, I mean Dante Culpepper. Because we have that tendency to make average
like
quarterbacks, A.J. Feely, Shane Matthews, John Kitna, Matt Schaub, look like Johnny Unitas, and that is what we did to Joey Harrington. But here are some thoughts about the Pats, NFL, and useless knowledge that you may not know. I'm going to get to these in a second, but did anybody really think Joey Harrington had a great game?
No.
Matter of fact, he did exactly what Dante Culpepper has done.
I thought they moved the ball a little bit at times, but it was nothing significant.
You see, people have this impression that Dante Culpepper hasn't completed any passes. The problem with Dante Culpepper is they throw for about 250, 260 yards every game, but he turns the ball over.
Yeah.
Ironically, that's what Joey Harrington's problem was. Didn't get it in the end zone, and he turned it over. The only thing that I would say changed is that Harrington only got sacked once.
Yeah, that was the only big difference.
And I think that's more of an indictment on the defense than it is a credit to Harrington, because I don't think the Patriots really have applied that much pressure all year.
They haven't.
The only consistent sacks they got was the fourth quarter against Cincinnati when the game was over. Some of the facts that we might not know. One, first, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this team now as we head into the bye, as opposed to the team that was 3-3 last year? What is the biggest difference?
The
record.
One.
I think the schedule of the teams that they played is the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you that. I'm not trying to be a smart guy with that. I think that the biggest difference is the quality of opponent has been
they
less than it was last year.
They had a brutal early season schedule last year.
Front seven defense talent has been far better this year. Can you expand on that? Chad Brown and Monty Beisel sucked, and I think Teddy Bruschi has played okay. I think Junior Seau has played okay. I think they're stronger up front. Obviously, Seymour's been in the lineup the whole time, and I think Ty Warren has taken a huge step forward.
I can live with that.
Okay. Two, here is a memo to the NFL. Schedule the Pats bye on Columbus Day. Why, you may ask? Well, here is your useless knowledge tidbit for the day. Take last year out of the mix, where Tom Brady was 22 of 27 for 350 against Atlanta. But five of the last 6 years look like this. 2001, 12 for 24, 86 yards against Miami in Miami, loss. 2002, 24 of 44, 183 yards, one touchdown, three picks against Green Bay, loss. 2003, 8 for 21, 112 yards against the Giants. A win, but not very good performance. 2004, 7 for 19, 76 yards against Miami, also a win. And the game on Sunday was another below 200-yard performance. Tom Brady does not play well on Columbus Day weekend. Just some useless knowledge. Yeah.
4-2 in those games tonight.
Very useless knowledge. Finally.
Plus, it was the whole Dolphins theme. Three of them were Dolphins, right?
I thought on an old friend in body language. I saw a guy in Dallas who I know Paul loves as well as I have had my fondness over him. But in the end, he always breaks your heart. But if you want to talk about body language, that person in Dallas has the same body language as he had in New England and in Buffalo. But he is who he is, and, well, it's just sad to see sometimes. Okay. I don't quite.
Are we not allowed to talk about him still?
Yeah, you can talk about him. I don't quite understand.
Because I just want to bring in my wife of the people view on him. I got home the other night, and she goes, "Did you see Drew? He's got to retire. He is a half a step away from Brett Favre," she says. She goes, "It's painful to watch him these days."
Well, that's two games. That's two out of four games that he looked like Brett Favre.
It's funny you should say that, because when my wife was watching the game over with me, she said to me, "You know, I noticed this the first time. Who's number
She's three? Not your wife.
Gary, shut the hell up. Sit there, chew, and play whatever video game
chew.
You're playing.
Chew.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert.
Well, I was trying to make a point, but...
Oh, keep going.
But Gary is...
Don't sell.
So what did Allison say?
The girl I'm going to marry in 5 months said to me...
At a pig roast.
Said to me, "Who's number 31? He looks so slow."
And tell you something.
He sucks.
It was the single worst performance by a safety I've ever seen. I've been at odds with Tom ever since I met him about Roy Williams. That was the single worst performance. If he had even a remotely good game in that game, he picks off two of the touchdowns.
He was responsible for 14 points.
Even if he just showed up. He was responsible for two of the touchdowns, and they should have both been interceptions.
And
he'll be
on his way to Hawaii because people know his name, and he'll have three good hits this year.
All right, we got a lot more emails waiting in line. Webradio@patriots.com. We'll get to that and more when we return.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's gonna be shot. Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Back here on PFW in Progress, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Tom Casale with you for about another 20 minutes or so. Then we have to head into the locker room, at which time, hopefully, Fred Kirsch is...
Cross your collective fingers.
I will say one way thing. Down here. We got two TVs going here, and I always say it's bad for sports when the Yankees and Cowboys aren't in the news. Well, they're in the news. Unfortunately for them, it's not the good news. Because both,
you know what? It's not good for sports the way they're both
no,
in the news right now.
But both TVs going. One side always has the Cowboys on, and the other side always has the Yankees on.
And the funny thing about that, the NFL Network one, which is doing Cowboys now, a minute ago had Marshall Faulk doing some sort of four down segment, and the third down was, who should the Yankees get rid of on the NFL Network?
I like that.
But I just think it's funny. It's the NFL Network. The whole claim was the only 24-hour,
no,
and
I
now
know,
they're talking
but,
Yankees.
But don't take yourself too seriously. That's what I like about that. You know
yeah,
what I'm
you
saying?
Don't take yourself too seriously.
I try not to.
Keep trying.
No Diamond Fairy release, Paul.
Oh, I didn't even know he was on the roster.
Arizona.
You know him, Paul. He's the most famous player to ever come out of Everett.
Yeah, that's how I said something. Carlisle Holiday promoted to the active
roster. I wouldn't
say
he's the most famous, but he's up there. He was a
right
really
behind
good,
you.
Really good running back.
You're kind of a big
at
deal.
EHS. Actually, you should have seen him on Pop Warner.
Here he comes.
Hey, there's Kirsch.
Kirschenbaum and Kirschenbaum.
And lo and behold, here comes Fred.
He's got some smile, kind of weird smile on
you got a smile as if to tell us something good?
I told Gary, I might as well come in and save the show. He said thank you.
Oh, yeah, I know, because Gary was upset with the show. Gary's just upset that Tom just bitch slapped him. Should we get back to the emails, boys?
Are you winded?
Huh?
All I can hear is a lot of heavy breathing.
Jeez. I just walked a long way. This is a big stadium.
Well, I figured
it's
you
100
got,
yards.
I figured,
just like every
I
other.
Figured you just like pull the lever and like drop down. It's usually how.
Yeah, you usually know a secret route.
I get, well, one of the doors that. Never mind. Anyway, I think I just saw The Rock walking around
yeah,
on the field.
Did he have the white football pants on?
I don't remember, but I think he was out there on the field right now.
Looks like
with some other guy that's really big.
Like
Andy,
have, like,
this
throwbacks.
Is like, yeah. Are you going to talk to The Rock today?
That Rock guy.
You told me to try to. I sent an email and I didn't hear back.
I think they're bringing him up
to a press conference.
No, to the Meet the Crafts or Jonathan.
Oh, I don't
see
be
the
in
trophies.
That mix.
But at some point,
the mix I'm looking to be in.
So you might want to. Oh, you're leaving with us, right?
I was going to say, Fred, you realize we do TV today.
That's right.
Plus,
so.
You know the whole thing about only bad things can happen in certain situations.
Yeah.
Well, Andy mixing in with the Crafts
and the Rock.
Yeah. Only bad things can come out of that.
You'd have one of your stomach issues right in the middle.
And
of
I go, can you smell what the Andy is cooking?
Oh.
I can't do the eyebrow thing, though.
All right. Should we get back to the emails here?
Good thing Fred saved this show.
Well, did we go over with the listeners what's happening here? I think they'd
yes,
be interested.
We are capable of doing a show without you being here.
Okay.
We do it four times every single week.
We even talked about Belichick.
Yeah, Fred, if you're so worried about promoting stuff, why don't you promote the TV show that we're on today?
I'm not promoting. I'm just because a lot of times you guys forget what it's like to be a fan.
This is not the painting of the weight racks. This is the WWF champion, The Rock, one of the most famous athlete entertainers in the history of sports entertainment, and you think we're going to miss it?
Would you say, as far as wrestling goes, not forget about their movie career.
The most entertaining wrestler of all time.
More than Hulk Hogan.
No, he's not far
even,
more.
Really?
He's not even in Hogan.
The Rock changed his shtick like 25 times. Hogan still has the boot, the leg drop, and ripped the
yeah,
stupid
but
t-shirt.
I think,
popular wrestler
I think,
in the
I
world.
Think Hulk... I think Hulk Hogan
more entertaining.
Was part of that whole, yeah.
Oh, there's no question he's an icon.
It might not have been
but
a Rock.
But in terms of
without,
entertainment,
without Hogan.
The Rock is far more entertaining.
Yeah, he's far more entertaining, but he's not far more popular.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say
that's what I'm saying.
I kind of agree
is
with
that what
Tom
you asked?
That.
Maybe I jumped down your throat there. I
agree
do that.
With Tom on that. And I don't
he's
even
far
know
better at what he does.
That could be. That could be, yeah.
Hogan thing.
He's probably the best that's ever you know, him and Ric Flair are probably the best.
Right,
two.
The way he, what do they call him?
Who?
I think they call it a shoot or something when they go out and just talk.
You do know it's fixed, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But all the other guys are not half as entertaining as him. The gimmicks he came up with and the whole, do you know what you're, it doesn't matter what you think.
He certainly turned it into more of a prosperous career outside of wrestling.
No question.
Oh, yeah.
His movies are better.
Yeah.
That rundown he had with the guy from American Pie was a very good movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't that good.
I thought it was very good.
I'm
in
not
terms of
listen to anybody
comedy
who likes
and entertainment.
Although, I have to admit, I have seen it twice because it's not always on cable.
And you stop and watch, which makes
plane.
It good.
What?
It's been on the plane like three times.
Right,
it's because it's a good movie.
It's just an awful movie.
You're right, because Paul's an expert. No interest in Braveheart.
Fred, not only did Andy talk about the fact that The Rock was here and that they're shooting the movie, but he gave a Roger Ebert, like, 10-minute synopsis on the movie.
I haven't seen the movie. How do you know?
It's not out yet.
Know what
Fred,
it's
they're
about,
filming
though.
It.
They're actually,
I told
they're
our
actually,
listeners.
They're actually filming
Fred
it now.
Fred hasn't seen the movie that they're filming here at Gillette Stadium.
How do you know what it's
I'm
all
about? I'm glad he reined in this show.
Because there's a script. They know what they're going to shoot. They know the story.
And you've seen it?
No, we know
it's out
there. Out, Fred, stuff. But we know what that's about.
Jesus.
Have you seen The Departed? Do you know what that's about?
Oh,
not really.
I didn't see that movie.
How could you not know?
I know it's like a mob movie.
But it's been written about 9 million times. How could you not have seen
out.
About it?
I'm going to use Fred's...
Fred, the
it's
script...
in theaters!
The script and the plan to make a movie is in place long before they actually shoot the film.
And
they know what the movie's going to be
they're
about.
They're not out there writing on the fly.
And when they're, when they're filmed in Boston,
Rock,
the Boston papers
to
tend to write about them
right.
a lot.
Have you missed out on everything?
I know it's about some down. Kids and he's a coach or something.
No. That's the movie that's in theaters now.
That's Gridiron. That's Gridiron.
Hands of Menace.
Gary, he has ruined the show. Single-handedly ruined the show.
So that email that we got earlier that said Andy was the best, then Paul and Tom, you know, and Gary, and Fred's in the mix, maybe.
Not in the mix.
Fred believes that...
I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
Fred believes the movie... that is in theaters now.
is being filmed this week at Gillette
right
Stadium.
All right, you misspoke. I apologize. All right, what do we
got? I apologize 1,000 times to you. I'll get on my hands and knees. I misspoke.
You understand that it's two movies, right, Fred? There's,
yeah.
He has one out right now about football. And
right.
A group of kids. Okay.
And some kids, but you know what it's all about.
This one.
Yes.
He's a quarterback of a
he's
very...
Tom Brady,
he's Tom Brady. He's the most successful quarterback in the NFL. His life is just kind of like going on as this superstar, and all
right.
of a sudden, one day he finds out he has a 7-year-old son that, he didn't know
is
about.
It son
it was
or
a daughter or whatever.
Kid from a previous relationship, didn't know anything
didn't know
about
anything about
and
it.
Now all of a sudden, his world's been
so
turned
he's a typical NFL
down.
Player.
Well, yeah, you could
you
say
could make
that.
Those generalizations. That's Fred Kirsch, Patriots.com.
Like in Playmakers. You want to not think that you have a child, but you do.
Let's go.
Still don't get why no one picked that up.
You know what we didn't talk about?
Don't fuel his.
The St. Louis Cardinals shirt that Bill had on at the press conference today in honor of Tony La Russa and his relationship. And he said he's ready for the NLCS.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing we didn't really touch on in the first hour, Fred.
He was so playful that when photographers tried to take pictures of it, he willingly took his windbreaker off and kind of posed for them.
In a very odd manner.
Pretty much everything he does takes place in it.
I think it's funny that when they try to give him stuff to wear on the sideline, he doesn't wear it. And now he's out wearing... Tony La Russa's shirt.
It's a bit of a rebel, I think, Fred.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, always has been. All right. Jeff is in Moncton, New Brunswick, and he's up next.
So Canada. It's not just the warm weather places. We're big in Florida, California, and Canada.
Given how both teams have been playing so far, how do you think the Pats can beat the Colts when they face each other in November? And personally, I think it's just a matter of time before Brady and the receivers really start clicking.
Run the ball down their throats and beat the crap out of them.
I don't think the Colts stand a chance of stopping the Patriots running
game.
I
think it could be Cincinnati all over again.
Right.
See, you guys are going to draw me in again. You're going to tell me how it's going to be a blowout, and I'm going to buy it and predict it's a blowout. It's going to be a tight game.
Be
and
a
I'm
blowout.
Gonna,
when are we going to? First of all, when do we have a draw you in and say it was going to be a blowout?
You just told me there's no way that the Colts are going to stop the run.
Are you reprimanding us for being fully on board with a Patriots domination over the Colts? Because I don't know how to please you anymore if that's the case.
there's a couple of things here. First of all, I didn't say that meant the Patriots would win the game, number one.
Well,
so I don't see why
you can guarantee you if the Colts can't stop the Patriots run and they run all over them, the Patriots will win.
Hey, Paul.
The
Jets could stop the Colts run. Right, and they almost beat them. It's not, I mean, maybe the Colts bomb them through the air.
And you can have an 8-minute drive for the Patriots, 7-0, a minute and a half drive for the Colts, 7-7.
Patriots aren't the Jets.
I'm just saying, just because they won't stop
the
run.
That's the expert analysis.
Except the Patriots getting killed by the Colts.
You got to talk into the mic, Tom.
I don't know what his deal is.
But I'm not Bill Belichick, and I'm not Bill Parcells.
I don't know how to please him anymore. But just because we think that the Patriots' running game will be successful against Indianapolis doesn't mean that we think that means they're going to blow them out. I mean, there's kind of a couple of different things in between
those that can
happen.
I think there's a chance they dominate the Colts.
I think
right
now, if you ask me, I think the Patriots are going to win the game
21-10.
But 21-10, I think it'll be a lot more points than that.
I'm just saying. Why?
Because I don't think that the Colts will stop the Patriots. That's why. Unless the defense improves over the next 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, when the Tennessee Titans run it down your throat.
You do think it's going to be a blowout.
As of right now, yeah.
I think it's going to be 31-15.
But
five
I also
field
think,
goals for Vinatieri.
But I also think the Colts. The I also think the Colts offense will score some points against the
Isn't
Patriots.
Isn't that how I wrote it in my little mock thing?
Yeah.
Unless it's one of those, like in Denver last night, all of a sudden they're playing in Arctic conditions in, October.
I usually make fun of people for if they don't go to a game or something. No way in hell I was in
Boy,
the stands
did that
last
look miserable.
Night. No way in hell.
Can you believe Joe Theismann? It took him until the fourth quarter to admit that maybe sleet has something to do with offense.
I don't know if you know, but he sucks.
Wow.
That's awful.
Besides the fact that when they're showing the close-ups of the weather, you could see it was coming down sideways. So clearly there was wind involved. Which,
unless it was cold.
Which they all admit.
See all their breaths coming out when they were on the
which
field.
They all, well, it was 38 degrees at game time.
Ridiculous.
I mean, they all admit that the wind is the number one element that they don't, to stop a passing game. So, yeah, Joe Theismann.
Stinks.
Joey Sunshine, he's no good.
Hey, I thought it was cool, though, that the Broncos allowed, I don't know, maybe they didn't allow it, they just didn't know, but when Lynch went out, they actually had him wired up for the game, and he had the hurt neck from that one play, and you actually got to hear him talking with the doctors on the sideline.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I didn't see it either.
You guys don't, what?
I was watching good football.
Oh, boy. You saw it, right, Tom? I can count on Tom to actually being interested in the sport.
That was cool. That was cool.
And how often do you not watch stuff?
I always watch games that are on. I always do. If I have a chance
Tom
to watch...
Tom watches every minute of every game that's on TV, college, pro, or otherwise.
Tom was just pulling out his University of Miami versus Alabama and Ray Lewis's rookie freshman year.
Second game.
He's kind of a loser.
Anyway, in a somewhat dull game, that was something that was interesting. Having Lynch, usually those mic'd ups are nothing. It's like a lot of, but this Lynch actually talks out there and
plus,
does
you
things.
Love him.
He's a great player. Although I do think that he had a little bit of a resurgence of his career, and I'm wondering why.
Are you making accusations?
I just think that, for a while he was getting old.
I think he's probably the only one.
I doubt that.
All right, Dave is in Storrs, Connecticut. We'll see what he thinks. My question is, why would Jackson start against the Dolphins? He was listed as a starter if he wasn't healthy. Has he been showing flashes in practice? It seems that he is being given opportunities, but Brady is not throwing him the ball very often, and when Jackson is thrown to, he drops catchable balls.
Well, he threw him once and he dropped it.
And I think he's healthy. I know he's still on the injury report. I'm sure he's still the hamstring, whatever happened at some point, but I think he's healthy now.
I don't think he appears on the next injury report, which we'll get a week from tomorrow. What do you guys think?
It's probably a fair assessment, but I never really know what they're going to do with the injury report, so I'm never confident in predicting it.
Nope.
I think Brady. I think Brady will be on
that's
it.
That's what I was going to say. I think the one lock is Brady will be on it.
Jason's next up. Longtime Pats fan from Pennsylvania was able to get up to the game this Sunday on what was an absolute beautiful day in Foxborough. I have a few issues with this offensive coaching staff. First of all, I was the one that thought the Pats would pass on an incredible talent such as Maroney, and much to my delight, they picked him, and I feel he will be a top five back in this league one day as long as he is used correctly.
Whoa.
As long as he is used
one
correctly.
One day, that's a good phrase for him to put.
Which brings me to my point of why in the world that Mr. McDaniels calls for Maroney's plays to be straight up the middle and Dylan's were more to the outside, especially considering that the Dolphins are pretty big in the middle, not to mention the fact that Maroney has moves that he can never really utilize running him into a wall. This is kind of like Deidre's philosophy. Why do they just run him into the
That's
middle of the
That's what I was
wall?
Thinking about.
They were both between the tackles.
Get him into space on sweeps and even misdirections where he can cut back, as we saw at the very end of the game. You give him a little daylight, and nobody is catching him. In my opinion, this team has drafted two possible all-pro talents in Maroney and Jackson, but to me, the Patriots have always misused their talent and strengths.
Who's this email?
What?
Who's this email?
All-pro talent in Jackson.
If there's one thing that the Patriots have done, is they've taken the talent and made the most of it.
Well, I don't know. I think he's talking about Maroney and Jackson, and the Patriots have always misused their talents. They've played five games, and in Jackson's case, three.
Well, but I took that as historically they always misuse their talent.
And, you know, Andy can sit here and argue with me about Maroney. It's a legitimate argument, but what has Jackson shown you to say that he's going to be any kind of future Pro Bowler?
I couldn't have loved him any more, and I've kind of given up on the future.
Come on, you're going to give up on the guy?
No, not permanently, but right now he's done nothing.
Right. Next week,
right.
As I've said in the past, Fred, pretty much whatever Chad Jackson's career ends up being, Andy will legitimately be able to say, I thought that would happen.
I am about production. Do it on the football field. Otherwise, it's
clearly
irrelevant.
Hasn't done anything yet, but exactly. I'm not ready to give up on the guy.
I'm not either, but for right now, I am.
I still think that he's the only guy on the roster capable of being the big gun.
Well, what do you mean you've given up on him now?
Week to week, I don't go in with any high expectations.
For right, him. But you still think he has potential.
That There's way he no can question. Never be wrong, you know.
No,
as
but
long as you
I have no expectations for
week.
Him right now. I don't know how you can go into a game and say, you know what, we're going to count on Chad
forget
Jackson
about,
this week.
Forget about, you know, the next game, but, you know, career-wise, you have any expectations for him.
I don't, you know, I don't
but
know.
I've lowered them some.
I don't know. I have to see him play more.
I still have some expectations.
Fred, I still have 1,000-yard seasons as expectations, but I don't think he's going to be special that I thought he was once going to be.
Okay.
I have high standards for special, Fred. I'm like you with the Hall of Fame.
You should. The word great is too often used in describing sports athletes.
I agree. Apparently, Fred can't find the next. I mean, Paul can't find the next email.
Well, it was
I looked over at one point. You had your arms crossed, leaning back.
Because I was reading a whole thing, and it was really all about the field conditions, which we already talked about. And then the next one was about signing a punter, which we already talked about.
Fred is very passionate about the field. Do we want to allow him a
who's
moment?
Who's responsible for the field conditions?
Mother Nature.
Okay. Moving
how come
on.
How come she?
I kind of had an idea of what the answer for that was going to be, so I just ignored it.
Honestly, I.
So how come Mother Nature only tore the hell out of it right between
all
the hash marks?
Mother Nature only works inside the confines of the stadium, evidently.
You know, in Fred's defense, it's rained here twice in the last 2 months. So,
I mean, honestly, it is between the hash marks, so it's not the concerts.
Or soccer. What does that mean?
And I know that they've replaced that strip many times. I just think that, I don't know, they should have probably, in the beginning of the season, replaced that strip, and they didn't do it. So
now the decision is that?
I don't know, but they're going to have to do it now, because that's beyond repair. You can't repair that.
Well,
it's just sand.
Beyond repair. You can't repair that.
Yeah. You need to cut it out, take away all that dirt, and put in a whole new strip of sod. That's the only way you can...
Well, this is the time to do it, because you have
exactly,
3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
If you want to, right?
You have all of
this week.
They
can't do it right now, because they got that movie filming.
That's why Bill.
Bet you that movie's
happy.
Not all that happy either. We look like we're playing on a minor league field.
That's what I
we're
was
supposed
thinking.
To be a pro franchise, and it looks like a minor league field.
I was thinking
movies,
the same
you
thing.
Can do anything.
They're filming it at Manning Bowl.
They'll probably post production. We'll have to put grass
right.
in.
So then they can do that. But you know.
But do you think they'll resod it?
They have to. What
why,
else can
why
they
do? Why
do
they have to?
Because you cannot have grass there anymore.
Who said they want grass there?
Well. I just don't think. I think I already heard that Polian's already ready.
Stop.
Whoa! I didn't make that up. I read it that he's already starting.
He read it in a chat room.
He's already gearing up the league about that game coming up. That he's already mentioned that could be an issue.
Anyway, we've gotten to the point where Tom, Andy, and I have to head to the locker room. So we'll get one more email in here from Sean, and we'll take a break, Gary. And let Fred take you home for the last half hour.
You guys are going to be ready at 2, right?
No, we're
no
be
dawdling.
No, it'll
we'll
be a little
dawdling.
Later than
it'll
that.
It'll be later than that. We have
be
to
a little later
finish
than
locker
that.
Room. Well, I assume it's 1:15. I mean, 2:15.
I'll be ready at 2, Fred.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, that means he's not doing his real job, just so you know.
And it also means
it
that
for
you
a half hour.
Means you won't have a TV show
for a half hour.
Paul is the only one who carries that show, according to media critics.
We are guys. We are getting to the point where we. Where are we heading into the flexible schedule right now? Do you think that the Pats-Bears game will be
yes.
moved to NBC, or will they think about moving the Mangini Bowl to tonight?
But
I think the Chicago game, you know.
Keep in mind there are blocks
something
and
happens.
How that all. I don't know the exact technicality, but there's blocks involved where whatever network it's on. What's it on? Fox now. They could block.
That game would be on Fox. Yes.
I don't know how the. I don't know how many they have to use or how they use them, but there are blocks. It's not just NBC. We want it. We get it.
Also, when are we wearing the god-awful silver jersey? Hopefully not for the Colts game. Fred, do you know what when we're wearing the silver shirt?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
We should wear them against the Bears so the Bears can wear their orange ones. Oh, those are tremendous.
Also, I know this is a taboo topic today, but did you see the NFL Network postgame show and Deion throwing that person in Dallas under the bus that we are not talking?
Deion Sanders threw him out under the bus?
I guess, but I made it a Drew-free zone today, Fred, for my own sanity.
I'll pick it up when you leave.
As long as I'm not listening to it, that's fine and dandy.
And I'll be back.
All right, we're going to head to the locker room, and Fred will probably just drop the ball in the last half hour.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
This is PFW in progress.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddie, Tom, good to see you.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I do you a favor and take Freddie in when you're having a bad time, and then you try to push me out. I gotta kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument, Freddie and I, so I had to straighten him out. He was banging cocktail waitresses 2 at a time.
Paul Perillo.
Come over here, kid. Wait a second. You start out with a little bit of oil. Then you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes and tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs.
And a little bit of wine.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Cut the crap. I got more important things for you to do. How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie. Won't see him no more.
And Andy. And Andy?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart. And I want to spend.
Andy Hart.
I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Some guy named Tom.
Tom no longer comes here. I'm going to be our lawyer in Vegas. There's no reflection on Tom, but that's the way I want it.
Mike, why am I out?
You're not a wartime consigliere, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying.
Maybe I could help.
You're out, Tom.
PFW in progress.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
And they're all out. This is Fred Kirsch. We're going to ride this thing home together, you and me, the listeners. Tom, Paul, and Andy had to head to the locker room because now they have a 1:30 open locker room time, changed from last year. So they're there, and then we have to head over to New England Cable News to film our TV show, which will air tonight at 11 o'clock on New England Cable News for those in the New England area that have that. Or
they're very exciting to watch.
I don't know if it's on satellite, too. I don't know if you have satellite and you're another part of the country, if you can get New England Cable News. But if you can, we'd appreciate it. If you watch, we need those ratings to go up if you're a Nielsen family. I think we got a half a point, which isn't bad for a first show last week. Right, Gary? Gary knows all that stuff.
Yeah, half point. Woo!
Yeah, okay. That's like 300,000 homes, I think, something like that.
I don't know who they're playing next week, but take the point.
Right. All right, we got a lot of emails we still need to get to. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And I don't know if anyone watched the game last night, but I thought despite the low score, I thought it was a pretty entertaining game. I think Denver's D is phenomenal. I think the only way you beat that D, if you're the Patriots or really any other team, is to run right at them, hope for the best there, try to get your guards out to get on those linebackers, and then go over the top on the other side of Champ Bailey. Otherwise, those linebackers have that field covered. And so Denver right now, I would say, I haven't seen that much of the Bears yet, but I'd say Denver has one of the best defenses in the league without a doubt right now. They're going to be tough to beat, and that's a big surprise for me. I didn't think that they'd emerge as the top team in the AFC West. I thought, you know, that would probably go to the Chargers. But, you know, they're really coming on. So that was an interesting game. I also got to talk about this T.O. thing. I know these guys didn't want to talk about the Dallas game because Paul would get too defensive because of the game Bledsoe had. But T.O. is insane. The man is insane. I don't care how bad your offensive line is, how bad your quarterback is, what plays your coordinator's calling, it doesn't matter. You don't do what he did on the sideline in that game. He knew the cameras were going to be on him. He's putting on a show for everybody. It's ridiculous what he's doing. And I was hoping that somebody on that team was going to stand up and pop him in the mouth. The guy is insane. I don't care how talented he is. He's not worth having on a team. And I can guarantee you this, if Bill Parcells or Jerry Jones said today that they're cutting him, forget about the money they lose. That team would thank, to a man, they would thank Parcells and Jones for doing that, and it would turn their season around, even with Drew Bledsoe at the helm. The guy is just, he's not made for team sport. He should be out playing tennis. That's where he would do well and where his antics would be maybe a little bit more appreciated by the paying public. But he's doing harm to the Dallas Cowboys. He cares not, no matter what he says. In the same breath, he'll say, we win as a team and lose as a team, but then he'll throw his quarterback under the bus. He's insane. And I know there's a piece of paper somewhere that certifies that. I guarantee you. The guy's just nuts. Other than that, before we get to the emails, Patriots game, haven't had a chance myself to talk about that. I think Miami's defense impressed me. I think they have a similar but not quite as good defense as Denver in that it's very quick, and I think it's shown so far in two games, and you can include the Bills game in this, three games where the Patriots have come up against a quick, aggressive defense, and they've had trouble. You know, and part of that is stopping the run, but even when teams commit to stopping the run, when they bring, you know, eight in the box, like those three teams did, that's when Brady has to, you know, take advantage of that and get the receivers out there. But they haven't been able to do that, and it goes back to the whole receiving problem. You know, I think Jaworski was saying that he doesn't think that the guys are running the right routes, Ron Jaworski, and, you know, I don't know how he knows what the routes are supposed to be, but there is something wrong with the timing of Brady. You know, Brady is such a precision quarterback. He's not a guy who, like, you know, that just rams it in there like a John Elway. He's a guy that really depends on timing and, you know, anticipation. And if it's just not right, it's going to seem like Brady is hesitant, and he is. You saw it on a couple throws. I think one that was supposed to go to Rashay Caldwell that Brady kind of double hitched on, and it just went right into the ground out of his hand. That's because he just wasn't sure that Caldwell was going to be where he was supposed to be, and so that's a problem. They bring in Gaffney yesterday. You know, he's got basically a week to get up on the Patriots system. You know, this could be just basically a paid tryout, if nothing else. And I know they brought in all three receivers last week, but this could be just an extended paid tryout. And so, you know, he may not even be on the roster next week, but we'll see how he does. These weeks, the players have off Thursday until next Monday. So basically it's yesterday, today, and tomorrow that he'll be out there with the team. We'll see what happens with that. They still have a roster spot. Because they released Jonathan Sullivan and Hank Poteet yesterday. They only signed Gaffney, so they still have one roster spot. That could be left open because the POP ends next week, and maybe Patrick Pass will be brought back to the active squad, although I think that creates a little bit of a crowd when it comes to that area, because you got Garrett Mills and you got, of course, Maroney and Falk and Dillon. So that's kind of a crowded area there. Garrett Mills doesn't become active in games. I don't know. But, it's going to be interesting what they do with that extra roster spot. There's all kinds of speculation out there that, you know, the Raiders are getting ready to trade either Jerry Porter or even Randy Moss. I can't imagine that would happen. But there is a trade deadline that's coming up October 17th. And, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Should be interesting, but, you know, despite the flaws that the Patriots have right now, they're 4-1, and they're set up in very good situation for the final 11 games. If you look at the stats that they're putting up right now, they're doing all right. Make a few corrections, and they're going to be right there at the end of the season. All right, let's get to the emails. Dan in Fairfax emails in. He says he wants to throw out a suggestion for a picks on Thursdays. I think you'd be better served giving out one weekly lock of the week against the team like Tom's pick of Carolina over Cleveland. I think way too many games are 50-50 against the spread, and you should have a strong feeling about a game before you pick against the line. You can still keep track of who is doing their best in picking their five-star game of the week. The only downside is you would each have to do a little more pre-show preparation by figuring out who your lock will be. And, Paul, if you haven't seen Braveheart, you really should. I put it my top. Were they talking about Braveheart earlier, Gary?
No, Paul has never seen it.
It was on the bus going to the – he just saw it. They just showed it on the bus going to the game on Sunday.
It wasn't Saturday. On the bus, but that's what they were talking about.
Okay. So I guess he wasn't watching. He refused to watch. Probably one of his rules. Braveheart is an awesome, epic movie. Epic movie.
And Tom Brady is King Longshanks.
Oh, that's right. He did mention that with the whole thing with Castle. By the way, Brian Lowe last Friday, we weren't able to really kind of use it, make it public until this week.
Make sure
but
you
he
tell
did
your
a
friends
one-on-one
on
sit-down
TV.
With Brady on the whole prank thing. So exclusive to Patriots Video News, and we'll probably put it on Patriots today as well. So you'll see that probably Friday on Patriots.com. I also snapped some pictures of Matt Castle's car up on Jack's, so we'll get that in the paper next week as well. So we have some behind-the-scenes exclusive stuff in PFW and on Patriots.com coming up. As far as Dan's suggestion, I don't know. I think the whole thing is we wanted to compare our records against the spread in our outright win record. So I think we're going to continue doing all the games against the spread. But giving a lock featuring
how'd
one
you do, Fred?
Against the spread, 6-6-2. I was undefeated, though, outright. 14-0. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure these guys didn't mention it.
Right? No, of course not.
No, they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed. They like to make fun of me, but then, you know, when I go undefeated, you know, there's no word of it. So screw them. Okay. Let's see. Where are we? Okay. Brian from York, Pennsylvania. Tom and the offense should get together, go out and have a beer, and ask each other what plays they like and don't like. When Tom started, Drew asked him what plays he did and didn't like and what he saw on the field. I'm sure that's done a lot, Brian. You know, so I don't think you have to worry about that as far as, especially the going out and having beers part. I know that's a big thing with Brady and his offense. But I'm sure they're working on this, and Brady is working hard to make sure that he gets on the right page with these guys. And, you know, we'll see. I think really the success of this receiving squad comes down to Chad Jackson. Because he was the guy that was, everyone was saying is going to be the number two, if not the number one. And right now, he's not even the number three. So the success of this year's receiving squad, if it is successful at the end of the year, will be because of what Chad Jackson does. Let's see. Dave from Orlando. He's a former Pat season ticket holder. What, you gave him away just because he went to Florida? Come on. He says, being lucky enough to watch the games this past weekend, I have a lot of concerns with this year's team. Maybe it's me, but why does Brady seem so down? It seems like the life he usually displays is not there this year. I'm not concerned with Maroney's off week because Dillon looked very good. I'm confused as to why he only ran 10 times. Is Doug Gabriel a mental case or just slow to learn the Pat system? I understand Brady's concerns about losing his two main wide receivers from last year, but Gabriel looked like he was emerging as his favorite target this year. Then last game he went back into obscurity. Is this guy just stupid or what? Is Jackson a pansy or is he going to make any mark at all this year? Well, I think Gabriel's going to be fine. I think you look at the Miami game and you're looking at a team that always gives Brady problems. So you factor that in. Even when Brady had Deion Branch and everybody else, David Givens, he's always had trouble with Miami. There's just something they do. The quickness of Zach Thomas, the quickness of Jason Taylor. They've always had a good defensive secondary, even though they've gone through changes back there. And they've always given Brady problems, even when he had those guys like Givens and Branch. So you have to factor that in, who they were playing. You know, so I think Gabriel's going to be fine. Again, it comes down to Jackson. Jackson comes out there, he throws the ball to him once, and he drops it. You know, so until he gets going, I don't think that the Patriots wide receiving core will have the success that they should have. As far as what else do you look here? Brady looking down. I didn't think that he was demonstrative in this game as he was against Denver. And clearly when he's having a day like he did in Cincinnati, it's a whole different ballgame. I don't think he was that bad this game. I think he's, you know, not as happy as he could be just because of what we've talked about, you know, the whole relationship on the field he's having with the receivers. The timing's off. And Brady is just, like I said, not a guy who just guns it in there. He's a precision quarterback. It's all about timing with him. And he's just not confident that, you know, they're on the same page right now. So it's just going to take time. Let's see. Dave from Connecticut. My question, he says, is actually two questions. Bill Belichick during the preseason praised Hank Poteet's work ethic, talked about him being a consummate team player. Therefore, why would they cut a player that knows the system for a newcomer? Secondly, is Chad Jackson's injury more serious than they're letting on? And is this the reason for signing Jabari Gaffney? The show's terrific. Well, thanks. First of all, Hank Poteet, he does know the system, but they didn't cut him for a newcomer. They basically cut him, and right now they have an open roster spot. The question is, why'd they cut him and not bring somebody immediately on? You know, does he now lose a paycheck with the Patriots having an open roster spot? I don't know. I'm assuming that they've got something in the works that they had to cut him for, whether it's a trade with another team prior to October 17th, which is a week away, or maybe they're just going to getting ready to elevate a guy like Patrick Pass off the PUP list. But yes, he does know the system, but they didn't cut him for a newcomer who doesn't know the system. Gaffney's a receiver, Hank Poteet's a cornerback. They didn't bring on another cornerback. Chad Jackson's injury, well, he was out there, and they took him out. You notice they trotted him off the field as soon as he dropped that ball. I don't think it had anything to do with the injury. So, you know, although he was still listed as questionable for the game, I don't think that the injury is more serious, or else I don't think they would have been out there in the first place. So hope that answers your question, Dave. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. And let's see, Alex in Somerville has a question. Which of the following teams do you see as the biggest threat to the Patriots in the AFC? He lists the Colts, Broncos, Chargers, Bengals, Jaguars, Ravens. Well, I'm going to go with the teams that have the best defense and whittle it down. Broncos, Chargers, Jaguars, and Ravens. I take out, believe it or not, the Colts and the Bengals from that mix. They've already shown what they can do against the Bengals. And I agree with these guys. The Colts are having, all of a sudden, this defense that was getting better over the years seems to have taken a step back. And I think if the Titans had a better offense, they would have blown away the Colts last week. They were running all over them. They just couldn't put it in the end zone. And of course, they couldn't stop the Colts when they had to. But so I take the Colts out of there. So now it gets down to the Broncos, Jaguars, Ravens, and Chargers. Broncos have already beaten the Patriots, so they're a big threat. They've got the type of defense right now that's going to pose problems for the Patriots. Jaguars, same thing, although, you know, I'm not sure who the Jaguars are. They had a huge win against the Jets last week. So if Leftwich, you know, starts turning it on, they could be, you know, a contender for to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC. Ravens, yeah, they have a great defense. They've played well, but, you know, they came against the Broncos and they lost. Up to that point, they beat a lot of also-rans like the Browns. So I'm not looking at the Ravens as much as a contender or a threat to the Patriots as it would seem. So now it comes down to Broncos, Chargers, Jaguars. You know, I love the Chargers defense. Man, it is Sean Merriman, those guys, they're all over the field. And what they did to Pittsburgh was just amazing, especially Phillip Rivers. I thought McDonough McNabb had a great week. But I thought what Phillip Rivers did in the face of all that pressure, I mean, they were throwing blitzes at him on almost every play and stopping the run. So all Rivers could do was pass the ball, and he was making great decisions. He was getting rid of the ball just before he was getting hit. I think he was the player of the week, Phillip Rivers was. And the Chargers' defense is awesome, although Roethlisberger is just not Roethlisberger, so you have to kind of weigh it that way. So when it comes down to it right now, I'm going to say the biggest threat to the Patriots out of this group is the Broncos, only because they've already shown what they can do to the Patriots. Which of these teams is the biggest fraud that of that group, says Alex. You know, right now, I'm going to say the Colts. I'm going to say the Colts until, you know, their defense can step up and win a game without Peyton Manning having to do it at the end of the game. I'm going to say the Colts are the biggest fraud out of that group, followed by the Ravens, because I don't think the Ravens can keep it up. Let's see. He says, are you ready to call the Bears the NFC champs? Is there any team in that conference that can do anything against them? Maybe the Eagles. The Eagles have looked great. McNabb has looked great. Looks like the world is off his shoulders for once. The question with the Eagles is the wide receiver core that they've shown so far, this Hank Basket guy and everyone else, can they help McNabb? And if they can, then the Eagles can overcome the fact that they don't have a true running back and that Michael Westbrook's more of an H-back type of guy. If that's the case, I think they can give the Bears a run for their money. But the Bears' defense is legit. And they've been slowly, slowly building towards this. It took, finally, the quarterback to be healthy for a stretch. And I think Grossman, you know, has been the key. I've said it before, these guys made fun of me, that I think Grossman's a pretty good quarterback and that when he's in there, the Bears have shown promise. Yes, his record's only been 4-3 prior to this year, but they've shown to be competitive when Rex Grossman has been in the game, and finally the defense has caught up. And I do think I'm ready to say that the Bears should be the NFC champs, and that would be pretty cool. And I was thinking about it. If the Patriots, correct me, Gary, you listen to this, if the Patriots get to the Super Bowl, wouldn't it be 20 years? They played them in 86? Or was that the 80?
It's 85.
85.
Team.
Oh, 85. And they played the Super Bowl in 86, right? So it would be 86 and they'd be playing. Okay, so it's 21 years. Still, it'd be kind of cool if to get that matchup back. And everybody would be talking about, you know, Patriots revenge in the Super Bowl, even though, of course, hardly anyone's alive from both those teams, let alone playing. I'm only kidding. But that would be neat to see the Patriots try to exact some revenge there. Michael from Texas, what kind of car does Tom Brady drive? What is he driving these days?
Well, he won that Cadillac, right?
Well, he won the Cadillac, but I think he gave that to somebody or somebody else was driving it. You know, there was a report in the paper that, you know, they had these pranks last week and that Matt Light or somebody opened up Brady's sunroof and filled his car with popcorn, the packing peanuts. That was I saw them doing that, and it wasn't an Escalade that they were doing that to. It was a smaller car. So he's not driving that Escalade. I don't know what he's driving. It might be a Mercedes, but I'm not sure. Louis in Tampa. I guess I'll take 4-1 at the bye. But the thing that makes me mad is I went through all the NFL teams that had great quarterbacks, and Brady is the only one that doesn't have a number one wide receiver or number two, and that's a shame. What do you guys think about that? Keep up the good work. Well, at this point in the season, it is a shame that no one has emerged. Like I said, before the season, we were thinking Rashay Caldwell and Chad Jackson be 1 and 2. You know, and who would be 1 or 2 by this point, you know, was anyone's guess. But neither one of them has emerged as a 1 or 2. And right now, Troy Brown, who should be a 3rd or 4th receiver, you know, coming in on 3rd down, is now basically your number one. And that's just not fair to Brady. Brady knows it. He's working on it. We'll see what happens. I haven't given up on Chad Jackson. I know these guys are down on him. I think that, you know, they got to get him into the system. I think that Patriots are telling him you've got to earn your reps. That's why you haven't seen a lot of reps from Jackson so far. But I haven't given up on him. Caldwell has shown in flashes that he's a pretty good receiver. Not a number one receiver, but pretty good. You can't question his toughness. I mean, he took a hit in Cincinnati that most receivers would, you know, not have bounced back from, yet he did. So you can't question his toughness, that's for sure. And joining me right now, getting ready for his 2 o'clock slot, is
they left you all by yourself, Fred.
I know. They all had to go to the locker room.
Locker room. I know. Bye weeks really kind of mess things up, don't they? You get into a nice routine, you know, and things, you know, I mean, not only, you know, the performance of the team on the field, but you try to get into a routine, and now bye week comes along and screws everything up.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the players mind too much.
Probably
yeah.
not, because they're going to get Thursday off this week, right?
Yeah. So what's going on with you?
SOS.
Did you see that Dallas game?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did.
I had a little bit of a rant before. Terrell Owens, I don't care how bad your offensive line is, how bad Drew Bledsoe's playing,
mm-hmm.
what kind of routes they're making you run.
Right.
The man's insane.
He is. I think he's just, you know, even Joe Buck, the mild-mannered Joe Buck, managed to say, this act's getting a little tired, isn't it? He did say that on national television. And obviously, he said everything, I think, Fred, that everybody's thinking and just may not say for whatever reason or another, because the guy, you know, allegedly, you know, has a mental problem. So, you know, it gets down to the fact that now the Cowboys are having to learn to deal with the same things that the Philadelphia Eagles dealt with and that the San Francisco 49ers dealt with and that the next team is going to have to deal with.
Well, you know, I can't believe, I mean, he knew the cameras are going to be on him every move. They're going to have an ISO camera on him
mm-hmm.
the whole game. So he knows what he's doing.
Right.
He knows that people are going to see what he's doing. I was hoping that some offensive lineman from the Cowboys would just stand up and pop him in the mouth.
Right. Well,
you know, and I can guarantee you, and I said this, if the Cowboys cut him today, every player to a man would thank Jerry Jones and Bill Parcells, and it would turn that team around immediately.
Here's what I think. I believe
how
I'm
bad
not.
Is it when well, Terry Glenn is the stable one.
Yeah, that does. That should throw up a red flag,
Vander
right?
Vander Jack's counseling him.
I know. That should throw up major red flags. However, I'm willing to wager here that not everybody on that Cowboys team is as far along as you are, where T.O. is concerned. Because my thought is that you know, all right. Here's the thing. When does the guy become a detriment to our winning? Because all those guys care about is winning. So when T.O. no longer is able to help them win football games, then you will find guys who are ready to say, I'm done with the guy. I want nothing more to do with him. And the Cowboys should perhaps ditch him. I don't think everybody in that team is there yet.
Well, though. I don't know. They certainly didn't help him on Sunday. I mean, they threw 11 passes to him. He dropped three. Or something like that.
Well,
you know?
I don't. You know. Again, Cowboys are 2-2. They've already gone through their bye. You know, they're not out of the race by any stretch of the imagination. But let's say we get another 5 to 6 weeks into the season, and let's say the Cowboys are still struggling along at 5-5, or maybe even 6-4. Then you might have to start thinking, all right, what good is this really doing us if T.O. doesn't drastically or dramatically improve? I don't think he and Bledsoe are on the same page. Still, in terms of their timing and in terms of the terminology and the playbook, he did have a bad game. This is not a Bledsoe excuse fest
right.
Here. He did not have a good game, but it's pretty clear to see when he would throw in Owen's direction, there were a couple of occasions where clearly Drew thought he was going to go another way.
Yeah.
Now, it happened that way with a couple of other receivers, too, which does, to me, also throw up some flags about, Drew, which is why Parcells did step out and say, you know what, Drew's my guy still. I'm not making a change of quarterback.
Right. Jim Johnson threw a good defense at him. I knew that was going to be a problem for Bledsoe. He's known for mixing up on defense, and there was a lot of pressure. The Cowboys' offensive line has not been playing that well. So Bledsoe was under a lot of pressure, but he had a bad game. But I don't care. You don't do what Owens did on the sideline.
No,
you know.
No, you don't. But I mean, that's part of his act. You're right. You hit on the very important topic here. He knows what he's doing.
He
knows the cameras are on him, and so when the cameras are on him, that's when he's going to go off and rant and rave and come on, guys, let's and get in people's face because he wants people to think that he is an emotional lightning rod and that it's all going to revolve around his doing if this team turns it around and is suddenly able to go out and drive down the field, and it's a huge ego thing. It's a huge control thing. It's a huge part of his game plan to market T.O. to make him larger than the game itself. Consider who his agent is, okay?
Yeah,
and then when you think about all these things, it makes sense.
Drew Rosenhaus represents a lot of people. They're not like T.O. But the thing about T.O. is, I think beyond that whole self-indulgence, I think he's got a mental problem. I think he's narcissistic to a point where no matter what happens, it's never his fault.
Right.
He's never to blame.
No,
it's always somebody else.
Yeah.
And those type of people, more often than not, end up down a bad road.
Because
they never accept responsibility until one day it's just too late.
I agree with that.
You know?
I happen to agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean,
the guy needs help. I really honestly believe that.
Well, he may very well. In fact, I believe Bill Walsh is the one that said after the whole, alleged suicide attempt happened a couple of weeks ago, Bill Walsh said that when he was with the 49ers, we tried to get him to seek counseling and he refused.
Of course, because there's nothing wrong with me.
No, exactly the point.
Exactly.
And that's unfortunately a byproduct of dealing with people, with mental difficulties. Having had some of this happen in my own life, I can tell you that it's a very hard thing to deal with. And not me personally, but a member of my family.
Yeah.
And you have to get to the point in time where someone is willing to admit there's a problem before the problem ever gets fixed. And until T.O. ever gets to that problem, it's just like, alcoholism or drug abuse or anything else. You have to admit that there's a problem.
Yeah.
And he isn't there, and I don't know if he'll ever get
there.
He's
surrounding himself with enablers like that Etheridge woman who only cares about the $25 million, so that's
right.
Just enabling.
Well, that's
what's
exactly
happening.
That's usually what people of his ilk
right.
do, is they surround themselves with people who are exactly
yes.
sycophants is very good. Boy, we're really stepping up vocabulary-wise today.
I know, but I got to get going because we got to go film our Neckin show. So, John, I
You mean you're not a part of the movie stuff out here?
No, no. They didn't ask me to be an extra. I
thought you were playing the daughter.
I said, if I don't have a speaking part, I'm not in.
You're not in it. Okay.
So I got to go. So I'm going to hand over the reins to John Rook with Patriots Playbook, and we'll see you tomorrow.